If you want to be a wise guy, you can do it anyway. If you want to be a strong man, you can do it anyway. If you want to be an Indian chief, cowboy, you can do it anyway. You can't do it anymore.
Biceps, the power goat.
Bada! It's 2014. I want to hear some power in that bar.
Bah.
Do it! Do it! Bah for me, boy!
I can't scream. There's sleeping babies above me.
Yeah, bah like a goat for me, boy!
This is getting kind of sick.
Good times, good times. It's, you know what, Incher?
Yes, sir.
I haven't talked to you in weeks.
It's been weeks, yes.
You're like, I'm talking to that weirdo. He's friggin', he's buying Nazi paraphernalia. He's watching movies about cannibals. And but that's all in the past. It's 2014. We're back together. The audio soulmates are rocking.
Something tells me that isn't all in the past.
Well, for today, for right now, in the present, there's no swastikas on me, there are no films currently playing where people are eating feces or so nasty mouth, anything like that. We're here to talk about the wrestling.
You used to just only want to talk about your sportswear stuff, like that you're selling on eBay, going to the post office, and you develop into quite the different person.
Times change, people grow.
But anyways, yeah. Hmm.
So how was your Christmas, Incher? Before we get to the wrestling, how was the Christmas at the biceps?
Yeah, it was good. Everybody got together, and you know, no major catastrophes. So it went pretty well. So nothing to really report. Mm. We just did the exchange in names this year, so. I didn't get like a lot of stuff, so but it's cheaper on everybody. But we're older, we're mature now. It's more about the youngins. So there you go. Well, that's how it went down this year. How did yours go?
Well, Christmas Eve we went to the Slut Cracker. It's like it's basically Tchaikovsky's retelling of the Nutcracker. It's all the music, but with like strippers. And like in bondage, and there was like a guy dressed as a dildo, and he danced around with a bunch of naked women, and there was like a giant candy cane penis, that that splooged Snow out of the head of the penis.
Mm-hmm.
After a bunch of you know, women licked it. It was a good time. And right before that was a Santa Claus. And apparently, because we went Christmas Eve, so it was the night before Christmas, and each day up till that, they did a different theme. And for ours, it was the 12 days of coming. And so the Santa Claus, he asked everyone in the crowd who had, like, a great orgasm this year. And then they asked 12 people to come up on stage, and they would tell everyone about their great orgasm.
Did Brenda participate in that?
Who? My mom?
So you didn't spend it with your family. Oh, okay.
No, I went with Annabelle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she tried to get me to go up there.
Yeah,
maybe next year. She thought it'd be funny if I went up there and I just made weird noises, like... But that would have been pretty funny. So anyway, they had Santa Claus up there, and people came and sat on his lap, and it was very dirty, and then he had a big sack, and everyone who explained their best splooge of the year, they got actually he called it the jizz of the year, and they would get a vintage porno magazine from the sack.
Oh, old school.
It was fun, yeah. Yeah, it was like real old. I don't know. Like, do you want like a real old like used porn magazine?
Probably not, no.
We found one in the streets in Southie Boston.
Oh, that was golden when you were, like, a teenager, but nowadays it's just like, don't touch that. So you found one.
Yeah, no, this was before, not during Slutcracker, but it was more like probably in the fall, and we were parked in South Boston, and we found one. And it had, like, a... Nino's porn, you know, but then there was also like an ad for like had Steve McQueen in it. So this was like real old school.
As old as it gets.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure they had pornography before Steve McQueen, but.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so we that magazine is actually in the in Annabelle's car. It's like a treasure. We'll sign it and give it and auction off someday.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Slutcrack was a lot of fun, Inger. It was fun.
Yeah, interesting. Well, it's not exactly Christmas mass, but okay.
Well, it was Christmassy. There was the woman got a, you know, she got a dildo for Christmas, and then they danced to Tchaikovsky, and then they brought out the big candy cane, and it you know, it spewed snow everywhere.
Interesting.
It was festive. It was a festive time. And I wore, this picture's up on the Facebook page. I wore a pink hat. And it was good. It was fun. Christmas Day, it was, yeah, like you said, I actually spent Christmas Day with my family. And, yeah, it was a pleasant night. Exchange presents.
There's not much to tell there.
I got a new night shirt.
Night shirt, eh?
Which I'm wearing right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cold here. But anyway, Incher, how was your New Year's?
It was pretty boring.
This is New Year's right now!
Yeah.
This is how we're spending it. And you know what, Incher? New Year, you know what? That means it's the month of January.
Mm-hmm.
The month of January, not only is it the new year, but in the world of wrestling, that means the Royal Rumble! And the Royal Rumble, that means, on In Your Head, the 8th annual Royal Rumble Contest. That's right. It is a staple here in the Headyverse. We've been doing it for 8 years, starting in 2006. It's Inter and I's favorite time of the year. That means every caller tonight. Mm-hmm. I will reach into this bag, and I will pull out a number.
That number
will correspond to the Royal Rumble. So let's say, Inter, let's say you're a call. Let's say you're one of those marks, you're a peon calls in the show and is not hosting it. So let's say you're Gogo 13.
Yes.
Oh, my God. oh my God, I'm going to call into the In Your Head this week and talk to Lonnie's biceps. And,
so what did Glogo do to you?
Jack Jones. I like that guy.
Okay.
So you're like, I got to call in. Yeah! And so, you know, you call it. And so I reach into the sack and I pull out number 7. So that means you're watching the Royal Rumble and you're sitting there and everyone comes out 2, 3, because it goes in order, in numbers, 1, 2, 3, numerical order. Number 7 comes out. You're like, my God, who is that? And it's Kofi Kingston. Bam, boom. So Kofi Kingston is your guy. And that means if Kofi Kingston wins that Royal Rumble, you win prizes. And if not, you're eliminated. But whoever gets the number of the corresponding wrestler wins. And another thing that's very fun is, if you don't already do this, go to inyourheadonline.com, iywrestling.com, during the pay-per-view, and there will be a live chat room during the Rumble itself, and you can participate with everyone involved. So it's a great time.
Excellent. I always love giving out numbers. I think I say that every year.
Yes. Piper fan did bring up, he said that people probably thought Jack was gay with that pink furry hat on. After the event, we went to this kind of shitty bar in Southie Boston, and she was like, I suggest you take that pink hat off before you go in here. That probably would have got killed. But it was good times, good times. All right, Inchman.
Yes, sir.
Who is your prediction to win the Rumble this year?
My prediction to win the Royal Rumble would be... Jeez. I think it's kind of been thrown for a loop since last Monday. I guess if I had to say anybody right now, I'd say Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar.
The Beast.
Yes, sir. Did you see Monday Night Raw this week?
Yes!
Okay, so you saw Brock Lesnar coming back. Didn't it feel like that, you know, he was going to be in the Royal Rumble? I mean, I know he said, like, he shouldn't have to and everybody should stand behind him. But, you know, to make it so, he has to be in the Royal Rumble, I'd say. To get a title shot so soon.
Yeah, that would make sense. I don't think it'll be Brock Lesnar vying for the title at WrestleMania, though. Perhaps him being in the Rumble will set up his match for Mania. So let's say he's in the Rumble, and you know who else is in the Rumble? The Beast, the return of Batista. So let's say you have Batista or Brock Lesnar in the Rumble. You have them both in the Rumble, but one guy's in the Rumble. He's throwing everyone out. He's dominating. Then the other music hits. Batista's music hits. He comes in. You've got the showdown between these two behemoths, the return of Batista, Brock Lesnar's kicking ass. Bam, 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 just a short, you know, brawl, and they throw each other out. Both of them go out. That leads to them fighting at WrestleMania because they both, you know, screwed each other out of their title shot, and now they want to decimate the other.
Ah. So is that a rumor that's been going around, Batista and Brock?
No. Well, Batista and Brock at WrestleMania. That's what a lot of people say.
No. I like the vignettes that they've been playing on Raw where Batista starts playing his music and everything, and then he's like, I'm tired of waiting. Now, I'm just wondering what exactly he's tired of waiting for. Like, a paycheck?
Because he's in, like, some bullshit movies. He's in this new... He's in a new Marvel movie. That's gonna pay some pesos.
Oh, what movie's that?
I don't know, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, so maybe he is working then. I just figured he was like, this whole MMA thing ain't quite working out for me. Because that's the last I heard from him. He's now trying to be like an MMA fighter.
He's in some stupid movies.
Well, the stupid movies has been paying his bills.
I'm sure they pay good money.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they do. But, geez.
But I think what it is why they bring back these guys all the time. They're trying to bring back people because the current crop of guys blew. And not all of it's their fault. A lot of them are just useless. I mean, let's just face facts. Even the guys that are kind of good, like, you think that guy's good. Compared to, like, the guys from the past, when you see, like, a Rock come out, a Brock, you're like, oh yeah, these guys around now are really just shit.
Yeah, well, I don't necessarily look as like Batista is like a godsend, you know. Like, thank God this man's back. I mean, he can be good with his promos and whatnot, but
I like Batista. I like the big badass who kicks ass, and I've always defended him. I like Batista. I think he's good.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think he's Ric Flair or something? No, but I think he fills that role of the big bad guy who's just kicking ass. All his moves. Is he the greatest wrestler in the world? No, but he is capable of having very good matches with the right opponent when he's motivated. And all his moves have snap and power, and he has a presence in the ring. He's fat. I like him. I like that guy. He's almost 50 now. He's like 46.
Damn. 46 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
He better think his lucky stars that Mickie James did what she did, and she's out of the company because she would have ammunition in the locker room.
Oh, no! People don't pay attention to women.
Well, he was going around plastering like her pornography pictures.
Yeah, but in WWE, in wrestling, for the most part, there are a few exceptions, but that the men rule. Like Bob Holly was banging that EMT BB.
Hmm.
And when they found out. She got fired. Nothing happened to Bob Holly.
I didn't know that story.
Who got fired between China and...
Why'd they fire her? Because she was getting with Bob Holly.
Because Bob Holly's married. Nothing happened to him.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, her... That's just the way it is. The way it goes. The only exception is Sable and Mark Merrill.
Mm, yeah.
Sable just strapped it on and gave it to Mark Merrill.
Nobody really listens to Stephanie either.
Mm. Well, they listen to her because she's the daughter of Vince.
Oh. But, yeah. I was just saying, though, you know, Batista's had some family members who's done some scandalous things.
Mm-hmm. One was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like a real, like, creep interviewing his... Your old daughter about doing a sex date.
Would you now? I mean, you just got back from the slut cracker.
Nah, it'd probably be a much better interview right now. It wasn't my finest performance.
I wasn't there for that one, but I don't know.
Plus, you wouldn't answer anything. It wasn't very good. But I felt bad too. She's talking about like her dad wouldn't talk to her. And I was like, man, I'm not a therapist, and this probably shouldn't be like just out here for everyone to hear. It's like it became like Dr. Phil or something.
Hmm. If we could just have a lifeline where we could phone up Dr. Phil every now and then, just like take over Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
We're just guys who laugh at fart jokes. We don't know what to do in this situation.
Not a big fan of the fart joke. But speaking of Dr. Phil, though, Incher, we had the passing of Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook earlier. But I saw that he played Shredder's voice. Is that on the cartoon or on the movie?
Hell if I know.
Yeah, I don't know either. So.
Or do I really care? But I will say, I mean, it's too bad. It's too bad anyone died. Seemed like a fine, upstanding man. But I was on the Facebook, and I saw this was an actual post. Let me go find it. I'm not going to paraphrase. I'm going to read the actual post. I won't say the person's name, but I like the person who said it. But it's just, I don't know. It's madness. Let me find this. Just give me 1 second.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. R.A.P., the voice of Shredder. And one of my favorite actors. Damn, another great one gone. No one, that's nobody's favorite actor. The dad on Fresh Prince is not your favorite actor. Nor is the voice of Shredder your favorite actor. It's too bad he died. And it's nice people pay his respects to the man. But let's get real. No one, before that guy was alive now, would anyone say, you know what, Who's your favorite actor? Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, Jack Nicholson? No, it's the voice of Shredder. No one thinks that. Nobody.
No. I can't say, like, I'm a really big fan of that dude, because I can't think of anything other than the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air that I've seen him in.
No! And would you be like the uncle on Mr. Belvedere? I mean, he was the star of the show, and I wouldn't say he's my favorite actor, Mr. Belvedere. Hmm. Never mind the uncle on Fresh Prince. I'm not attacking the guy. It's too bad he's dead. I'm sure he's a good dude, but just because he died doesn't all of a sudden make him Al Pacino.
I mean, I really thought Carlton's performance on the show was really stellar. And I think he's probably my favorite actor.
He was good. He was good.
The guy, I can't even remember his name.
Well, I don't. James Avery.
James Avery. I don't know Carlton's name, though. I forget his name, but who cares? Well, yeah, shame he had to go.
I said that. Somebody's like, well, he was also the neighbor on the Brady Bunch movie. Well, all right, then. Neighbor in the Brady Bunch movie is my favorite actor. No. I will not stand for this.
I thought his portrayal as a neighbor was, you know, very true to heart. It was like, when I saw that man, I thought, yeah, that would be my neighbor.
Like Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Well, he's dead. That's too bad. Rest in peace, man. But
hopefully he was a wrestling fan.
Why?
I don't know.
I love it when wrestling fans die.
Maybe he could be looking down from the sky and be like, thank God the In Your Head guys are talking about my death on their show.
Kevin the Riddler says that's Alfonso Ribeiro. Kevin's got like a tattoo on him, man.
I wasn't serious.
So this week was Raw, intro. Just like every week.
Monday Night Raw.
Do you like it raw?
Yes.
You like it uncooked?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, baby, I like it raw.
I do. Before we get into Raw, I have one more thing to say. And this goes to everyone in this chat room right now over at iywhitewrestling.com. Everyone over on the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/group/IYTrestling. Everyone on Twitter at IYTrestling. Everyone on the message board over at IYTrestling.com/board. Everyone who listens to the podcast, who listens live, who never interacts with us. Everybody out there that hears this now or in the future when you listen to the podcast, go to the website, go to the Facebook page, and get yourself the ballot for the year-end awards. Take that ballot and fill it out. Fill it out like you've never filled out a ballot before and send it over to me. You can message me on Facebook. You can message me on the board. Or you can email it to jackinyourhead@gmail.com. But do it. Do it. Because if you don't do it by Tuesday of next week, you're going to be #banned from the Headyverse. Everyone fill this out. Because the year-end awards are special, and they can't be done unless you people vote. And they will not be accurate unless you people vote. Mm-hmm. So vote. Do it. Or be #banned.
Rock the vote.
Yes. Vote or die.
We need Puff Daddy for these segments. Mm-hmm. All righty, Jack. Starting out Monday Night Raw, it seems.
Got
it. CM Punk is playing some head games.
Ooh.
With the Shield.
You better back. You better.
He's getting one to admit that they think they're better than the other one, and it's going to cause some havoc.
I like that. He's like, which one's better? And then Moxie steps forward. I was like, that's awesome. Then that's like it shows he's egotistical, and the other guy was like, look, I like that. I thought it was very good. It's subtle. I dug that. That was a good angle.
Mm-hmm. They don't do subtle very well on Raw a lot of times, but this time they did it pretty well.
Yes.
So, yeah, they're building up a feud with the Shield and CM Punk. I mean, Punk, he's already beaten them, you know, 3-1, but I don't know. I'll be interested to see what happens when they break it down to, you know, one-on-one matches.
Mm-hmm.
See if they break up.
I think matchups between any of the three would be very good.
Yeah, yeah. The pairing would be good with anybody who gets in the ring with him. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Big E Langston.
I'm going to say this. I've not been a Big E Langston fan. Dobzilla here in the chat room, who is, there are pecker checkers in wrestling, and Dobbs is actually an inner thigh man. He's always, really investigating the cleanliness of Big E's inner thighs. And I did notice they were very sweaty. But, nonetheless, this was his, best performance to date. He had a very good match. And I'm going to admit this guy is improving. And I based off that performance, I would be a fan of his.
Mm-hmm. He had a really good match with Fandango. So. Mm-hmm. It was good stuff. You got into the match, and you're really wondering who was going to win the bout, you know?
Yeah, he got the fans into the match.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something he has not been able to do recently. He has not really connected, but it was good. I think he needs to work on his look, but in this match he showed a lot of personality, in-ring charisma, like a presence. That was very good.
Dogs.
He needs a different look, different haircut, different face.
Different face? What do you expect him to do about that?
I think plastic surgery.
Oh, okay. Huh. I make him look like Joan Rivers or something when he comes out?
No. He could look like the dad from Fresh Prince.
Ah, yeah. Hell yeah.
Pretty good.
Dolph Ziggler versus Curtis Axel. I thought that was a pretty decent match.
He's another guy. I'm not like, oh my god, this guy's the man or nothing, but he's had some good matches lately on Raw.
Talking about Curtis Axel.
Yeah.
Yeah. That spot that he did where he took the second turnbuckle to the face, and then he kind of slid. He kept going. That was a pretty cool spot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's something his dad was known for, taking very peculiar bumps.
Hmm. Picking up some from the old.
Yeah,
man.
I don't know. You have it to be main event guy. I don't know, but he's definitely improving, and I don't like the shirt. Mm-hmm. I mean. You shouldn't go out there and say, I'm average, I'm generic Gene or something. But if you're going to say you're better than perfect, you can't be just a basic dude. You can't be so far from perfect that it's just silly. And then plus he's basically saying his dad is he's better than his dad. You know what? My dad wasn't that great. I'm freaking better.
Trying to step out of the old man shoes.
Yeah. Well, if he wants to do that, he shouldn't even mention perfect. I'm saying. I do think a good angle would be if Arn Anderson came out and said that he was his real dad, and that he banged his mom, and they could actually show the old, because they own all the old footage, and they could say that was the reason that Arn Anderson gave Kurt Hennig his spot, not a liver spot, not his dog spot, but his spot to Kurt Hennig in the Four Horsemen, because of the guilt that he had for being the real father of his son.
Mm.
And then Axel could just see I'm thrown down the Hennig legacy, and now I am the last Anderson, Axe Anderson.
And there you go. He does kind of have the beard that kind of matches an Anderson.
Yeah. Think about that angle.
I think it's the total shit.
I think it's awesome.
All right, Jack. So, we had all this hoopla going on Monday Night Raw. And then, none other than the big surprise happens. Brock Lesnar returns.
Bow, bow. Well, he first, you know what? He comes out, now this ended up being awesome, I thought. But the fact that he goes out there and he shakes hands with Triple H and stuff is idiocy. He just had this like year-long feud with the guy where he broke the man's arm. And they had a Hell in a Cell. Then all, oh, we're buddies now. How you doing? Stupid. Yeah.
I did like Paul Heyman's line about when Brock looked at him and he's like, he signs the checks. But yeah, it was pretty lame.
Yeah, just don't even have him in the ring together. You don't. There was no reason for it.
I guess that's kind of the downfall when you have Triple H as being a heel now. You know, he has to be like buddy buddy with all the other heels.
Yeah, he doesn't have to. It's not like we must have them in the ring together. He didn't have to be there. They could just have him come out.
Well, I mean, the WWE universe's minds couldn't grasp that two heels doesn't like each other.
Back in the day, Incher. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, they would have Survivor Series, and the man known as Bad News Brown, he would be in these 4-on-4 or the 5-on-5, striving to survive. He would be in these matches, and the other heels like Ron Bass, whoever the hell it was, they would go over and I'm gonna go tag him. Bad News Brown, Bad News Brown, say screw you, and he'd walk away. Because he was so much a heel, so dastardly, that he didn't even like other heels. So it can be done. It can be done.
So we had the whole segment with Brock shaking Triple H's hand, and Brock, he cut a pretty terrible promo.
Yeah, I don't care. He cuts a promo. Mm. Who gives a shit?
There was a day where he could talk a little bit better, like before he did the whole MMA stuff and all that. Wasn't he a better promo back then?
I don't think he really. He always had a.
Yeah.
I don't care. I saw people saying this on Facebook. It doesn't matter. He's this big badass. He talks with his physicality. Henry came out and he fucking killed him. And I was like, this is awesome. This is what I like from wrestling. That's what a wrestler should be. He stands above and beyond everybody else on the roster. He is just a big badass.
Yeah, and it was impressive seeing Henry take like the F5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I like that. That was my favorite moment on Raw.
Going through the guardrail, you know, I was like, yeah, this could be pretty neat stuff going on here. So, yeah, I'm getting into it, but.
People are saying that this, I don't think this is going to lead to a Mark Henry Brock Lesnar match. I think that's the end of Lesnar Henry. It was Henry came out to put over Brock for Brock to go on to someone else. But just to show how much of a badass he is.
Because I don't know if Mark Henry match would actually be good with Brock Lesnar.
I don't think so.
No.
It was a good moment just to see, you know, this big badass come out, then get taken out. But like a feud and a match, it's not needed.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jack, a thing happened on Monday Night Raw that I was just dumbfounded by.
Mm.
And that was Oksana actually winning the match, and we heard her music for a while.
Yeah, I was like, my God, what is this horrible music playing? Not a wrestling song.
Strange music, but we actually got to hear what she comes out to.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Old school Raw next week.
Why is she getting any type of, like, push of any kind?
I don't know. I guess they gotta build somebody up so they can beat them.
Oksana!
I guess. I don't know.
I always hear about all these women on NXT that are so good. Why don't they bring them up?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't answer these questions.
When's BB the EMT making a return? There's a page on
I barely Facebook. Remember her, but I do kind of remember her, and BB the EMT.
Yeah, there's a page on Facebook I was invited to try to get her into the Hall of Fame.
I can see the disgust just come over your face right now.
BB the EMT. She had joined the In Your Head board momentarily. Because this guy, not Batty Oil, but Braddy Earl, is her manager of some sort. And he was like, he's just like going friggin' crazy about her. And he added her to the Facebook page. And then she was like in total disgust that people were just making fun of her. And then, like, he kept, like, demanding that I remove her from the page, and I was like, well, freaking do it yourself. Mm. You can just click leave. Why the hell do I have to do it?
Beats me.
I don't know. But she has a real name, too. Surprised that her real name is not BB the AMT.
You mean she doesn't go to the bank and sign her checks BB the EMT?
I'm sure she's making millions. Then his defense was like, people like, well, she didn't do anything. And he was like, she cracked her head open. Basically, his defense of her being good was that she fell on her head and hurt herself.
No.
That doesn't make you good!
No.
You're trying to go out, the idea is to go out there and not hurt yourself, and not hurt the other person. If you go out there and fall on your head and crack your head open, that doesn't make you good.
I'm pretty sure if there's anybody who is tired of waiting, it would be BB the EMT. She's been waiting for quite a while now.
What do you think about Big E's finisher? It's coming up here in the chat room. I hate it. I hate the finisher. I don't see why it would hurt. I think it would hurt him more than the other person. He needs a new finisher, in my opinion.
Where he kind of has him, like, up in the, what do you call that? Just like
it's almost like he's going for power slam, but then he falls on his own back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a strange move. I don't totally hate it, though. I mean, yeah, there's been a lot of moves where it looks like, you know, that wouldn't really hurt that dude. It would hurt the dude doing it more.
Mm-hmm.
So
why not just do a power slam? Kind of like he's got him up in that position like the old British Bulldog where he would do the running power slam. Do that.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Power bomb. Dobzilla says power bomb. I like that. Brain says a torture rack. I like the torture rack. I like his explosiveness in the move. He does have a snap to him. I like that. Kind of like when Batista would do the sidewalk slam.
Yeah.
Spine Buster, is that snap to him? I like that, but I just don't like the move itself.
Hmm. Well, you got another new move out on Monday Night Raw. Well, it's an old move that's been brought back. The Heart Punch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Funkasaurus is doing the Heart Punch.
Funkasaurus. This is... I don't... This feud... It produces some of just the worst matches I've seen.
The feud between R-Truth and the Funkasaurus and R-Truth's buddy. The name is escaping me right now. It used to be Consequences Creed.
I think he's better Consequences Creed. I think this isn't like, you know what, WWE's giving a big push, whatever. I think he had a better look at TNA. I liked it when he came out, and he looked like Apollo Creed from Rocky. He had the red, white, and blue on the top hat, the mm-hmm. big afro, and no creepy mustache. He looked much better.
That is a creepy mustache.
Now he just looks like a sleaze bag.
Did you see that guy at the Slut Cracker? You, like, look over, and there he is with his sleazy mustache.
No, there was mostly a bunch of nerds in the crowd.
Bunch of nerds.
Yeah, it's kind of like the nerd crowd. Which
like the nerd from the nerd movies?
Yeah, it was like nerd, kind of nerdy, like, it was all nerdy white people.
Huh.
And, but the Santa made fun of that, which was very funny.
Are you excited for Old School Raw next week?
I like Old School Raw. Mm. Oh, I like the idea of Old School Raw. So, I don't know, I remember last year was kind of a letdown, if I remember.
Kind of a stinker, but the year before that was all right.
Yeah, I liked it. I do want to say something too. I noticed someone out there. I really wish they would tell me who, but someone had sent me a Macho Man T-shirt, and it came from WWE Shop Zone.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. I like it a lot, and so I checked out WWE.com, and they have a lot of throwback shirts now. They got a big Boss Man shirt and Rick Rude and. All these people, and I was listening to Brian Alvarez, and like they were kind of stealing like a bit from us, where you know I'd go over to the Shop Zone and make fun of the stuff.
Mm.
But to me, I mean, maybe all people out there agreed, but to me, it made no sense whatsoever because they were really making fun of the Big Boss Man, Rick Rude, WCW pay-per-view shirts. Like, oh, I bet only five people bought these. Why would they even make these? I was kind of like flabbergasted because to me, I think that's awesome, a Big Boss Man shirt, a Macho Man shirt, a Rick Rude shirt, old WCW pay-per-view shirts. I would much rather have those than like an Uso shirt or Kofi Kingston or basically anybody on the roster.
I was walking through the flea market the other day, and I spotted a Wolfpack shirt, and I thought, by God, I kind of want that.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, man, that's kind of rare.
Yeah, now can decide. I mean, I don't know. If you're a longtime wrestling fan, why would you think a Big Boss Man shirt's so stupid?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
It says, like a boss, and it's the Big Boss Man. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah. I'd buy
Brock Lesnar, I'd probably wear. Like, have you seen those Dolph Ziggler shirts? Like, there's no way in the world I would ever wear that.
I'm not sure. What does Dolph Ziggler say?
It's got like this. It looks like this old, like, 80s, like, MTV stuff. It's horrible.
I will say, I think Goldust's new shirt is probably his best shirt he's ever had.
Goldust is the man. I would say, I think right now you could make Goldust. I think he could be a top guy right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is that good. I think he's I think he's honestly in the best shape I've ever seen him in. He's just a man. I think you could take him and he connects with the crowd. When you see him out there doing a tag match, there are a lot of, you know, tag teams now. But most of them I don't think really understand a tag team match. When you see him out there wrestling, he really knows how to connect to the crowd. Get the crowd into it. He's about the only guy in all the tag team matches, even like the people I like, that know how to do the hot tag and like get like people into it. The guy, he's super talented guy, and I think he's a guy that kind of fits that role when they used to have like the old Irish guy there, Fit Finley and stuff. Where if you'd put other younger guys in with him, they're gonna learn. These little things about wrestling that they're not going to learn by wrestling other people on their same level, their same age. This guy knows the little things in wrestling that makes the match really work. And he's on the top of his game right now. The crowd's really behind him. It's awesome in the tag team. I hope that continues. But I actually think that he has what it takes. He could have a run as a top guy right now.
Yeah. He's definitely on fire right now, that's for sure. Good old Goldust.
And they're on sale right now, $5 off, so they're $20.14. And they've got the old Captain Lou shirt, which is really awesome. If anyone remembers that from the 80s, that was always one of my favorites. They got an awesome Jake the Snake Roberts shirt, Legion of Doom, What a Rush, really old school Junkyard Dog, Bulldog.
Some of these are reproductions, like ones that were back in the day.
Yeah, that's my Macho Man shirt. Someone bought me. It's the old, the old school Macho shirt with the glasses.
Hmm.
That which is cool because the original one was the first wrestling shirt I ever bought as a child.
Ah.
That's not up here anymore, so it must have sold out.
Damn. Got to make a new print of those.
Yeah. But anyway, they're very cool. We got a Papa Shango shirt. The old Andre the shirt with the hand on it. Old school Hot Rod.
That was a cool shirt.
Yeah, it was. Hand. One of my favorites, a Hot Rod shirt's up there. That's very cool.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
So, yeah, I think that's awesome. I don't know why they would make fun of that.
Beats me. But, Jack, I think it's high time that we get to what everybody probably wants to hear.
All right. Just real quick, too. The intro.
Yes, sir.
Before we go to that. I mean, let's... I don't know. Someone who wrote the Death of WCW book might find it stupid, but I think it's awesome. They've got a Fall Brawl, War Games, Bash at the Beach, and a WCW NWO sold out. Reprint shirts of the old logos. To me, awesome.
Okay, yeah, that is kind of cool. But
yeah, they're $10 off right now.
Halloween Havoc? Do they got a Halloween Havoc?
They don't
shirt?
Have a Halloween Havoc. That would be pretty sweet, though.
I don't know why, but I always liked Halloween Havoc.
I did, too. I like this Fall Brawl shirt. It's like, it's got the tank, it says War Games, and then it's got the WCW NWO Fall Brawl logo over it. To me, that's awesome. Good times.
Awesome.
All right. What's on your mind?
Well, Jack, I think if anybody's out there and they're thinking, does WWE want to push Daniel Bryan? Are they just trying to wait for the right storyline? I think you have your answer on Monday Night Raw. The answer is they don't want to push him because he has joined the Wyatt family. They beat him down in the ring. They're kicking his ass. And then at the end, well, he had a pretty good match. You know, he beat the first two participants. And then,
yeah,
then
the match itself was very good.
Yeah, and then it broke down into, you know, Bray coming into the ring. And then the
hair guy, I thought, was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And even the other guy has improved a lot, too. And I think Bray has improved the last few times I've seen him wrestle, too.
Mm-hmm. So they beat him down, and then Bray cuts his crazy promo. He's saying all kinds of crazy stuff. And then he just asks him, one last time, will you join? Or, no, he doesn't ask him then, but I forget how he put it, but it broke down to them talking to Daniel Bryan, and then Daniel just goes, you were right. And I was like, oh my God, what are they doing here? And then it basically, I don't know how else to describe it, because there's so much, you know, jibber-jabbering by Bray Wyatt. And he just basically, in the end, I guess he joined the Wyatt family.
Yep.
He said, like, no matter what he does, you know, no matter how much the fans cheer him, it just doesn't matter.
Yeah, this one to me was just horrendous.
I think that's putting it lightly.
It was the shit. It was. My mind was boggled. It was like, you take a guy that has that. Is he the top guy? I mean, you could maybe seen as the top guy. I mean, he sells all this stuff. Blah 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 blah. But nonetheless, he's the guy that gets the most over with the crowd. He's the guy that the crowd really connects to. He's the guy that they cheer the most for, that they really behind. And it's very rare that a crowd ever gets so behind someone. And they're not behind a lot of the baby faces they do push. Not to this degree, not even close. And you turn him heel, you make the crowd, you know, sad. I don't understand why. Of all the people to do that with, why would you do the guy that the crowd really genuinely loves?
Once he started into the whole thing about, you know, them being right, I kind of got numb to the situation, and I just kind of laughed at the entire thing. It was just like, yep, there's my answer. They really just do not want to push this man.
It's crazy. And I think it's a big problem with every time you start to get invested in something in WWE or wrestling in general, pretty much. Like, it doesn't go the way you... I'm not saying it has to go a certain way or anything, but it doesn't, like, continue to go upward and make you, oh boy, you know, this started out great, I'm really behind him, yeah! And then, bam, it just keeps getting cut off. And after that happens so often, you become jaded. And it's like, you don't even want to get, like, excited about anything, because you know it's just going to end. It's not going to pay off in a way you make it happen.
So congratulations, WWE. You're alienating the entire WWE universe. They just can't get into your product, because this is what you do to people. They get into somebody, and they're really, you know, rooting for the man, and you're just like, no. We're not going to give him any sort of a good push. He's in the white crew now, just because he has a beard.
Yeah, why would he even be in it anyways?
It's just like they've been having this feud and all that. I mean,
everyone's chanting. They're like, you know, I don't know. They're sad that he's there.
How did Daniel Bryan decipher that? Like, Bray Wyatt is even talking about the fans. He's just like, they were at the buzzes. And it's just like, okay. It's like, man.
And then when they did the when they showed it on WWE.com or on their YouTube page, they edited out the part where he talked about the machine, where like it didn't matter about how often he wins. The Matrine will always, you know, keep down, whatever. So, like, they don't even want him, like, you know, nitpicking the creativeness.
They just totally cut his legs out from under him. It's like, no, you can't have even that part about being upset that we're holding you down. You're just some goof who wants to join the Wyatt crew.
It's bad enough that he's a heel, that he would turn heel when he's so popular. But he's a heel, he's a lackey for some other guy.
These motherfuckers cheer him. We've been booing John Cena forever now, but they'll never turn him heel.
Do you think that's like WWE's like philosophy though? Because like that show where they had like all the champions out there, and like they just went apeshit for Daniel Bryan. That's all they cheered for. Mm-hmm. They just kept chanting. You think like backstage were like, we'll show these stupid fans.
I imagine, yeah. That was probably the moment that idea spurred into Triple H's head. He was just like, well, if it is Triple H, I don't know who's making the exact call, but I'm sure he's in the decision-making.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just, I don't know. It's just like, why won't they ever just give the fans what they want?
Back in the day, they would try pushing certain guys. If they didn't go over, didn't get over. But when they saw the crowd getting behind Steve Austin, they're like, oh, you know what? They like this guy. They pushed him.
Mm-hmm.
If that were to happen today, I think they wouldn't.
They'll be like, we'll show them. We'll teach them for taking like an interest in somebody.
Yeah, it's like, we're just going to keep pushing Mark Marrow instead.
That's what people want is Mark Marrow. They just don't know it yet.
A good example of that is Bad News Barrett.
I forgot about Bad News Barrett. he had like a what do you call that? An escalating podium. That was pretty awesome. Well, piss off some bad news. And he's like 20 foot tall. That was pretty balls out right there. I like that.
It was the shit.
I don't like anything about the character, but I do like the podium.
Yeah, you know, when you explained the podium just now, I was like, you know what? If I didn't see that, I'd probably think, holy shit, this angle's the best. But I did watch it, and I'm like, God, I hate this guy.
I mean, it was just a run-of-the-mill promo where he just, like, it all that money, wasn't it like he was collecting money or something?
That was last week.
Okay, well, this week was something about New Year's and how it's going to be a good year for Wade Barrett. And that was the bad news, I guess. Something like that. It didn't even have like a good twist to it. It was just
it's basically just like your, I don't know, it's awful.
God damn it, I got me a podium that rises to the fucking ceiling.
Who do you think's a better judge Jeff Jones or Bad News Barrett?
I do want to get a gravel, like one of those, just so I can bang on the desk.
Surprised in the chat room some people are flipping. They love it. Kevin and Dobbs saying they're like jizzing their jeans over. They love it.
That's nothing to get excited about, fellas. I do like the podium, but man, it's not a very good storyline. I don't know if there's anything they could do with Wade Barrett. He just, it's just, I don't know. I just don't feel anything that he does.
No, he's like, and it's, I can't really pick anything out. It's like he's, you know, big guy, he wrestles okay. I don't think he's particularly that great, but you know, he's all right. He talks well, like, but he never, like, grabs me.
No. Like, he can talk, but that's about where it ends. There's nothing that really, like, draws you in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know. Freaking Bad News Barrett.
Dodge was telling me that like they're like building a statue to him in his town.
So I think, well, it's high time I had a statue. I was in that goddamn movie, you know, the one with the.
Apparently, Goldust is in a movie now.
Goldust is in a movie.
Yeah.
Damn. I didn't know anybody was looking for Gold Dust in movies, but that's cool. I'm glad for him.
Mm-hmm.
What movie's he in?
I don't know. Some bullshit I'll never see, but they posted it on In Your Head page.
Huh. Is he in makeup?
No.
A Gold Dust movie does sound pretty awesome, though.
Meet Me There, based on a bizarre town in rural Oklahoma.
Oh, he's got to be like one of the Okies, right?
I guess. I don't know. Based on the bizarre town in rural Oklahoma, where there are more crime scene cleanup employees than there are mailboxes, Meet Me There blurs the lines between horror, suspense, romance, and fear.
Sounds like a good one.
Starring Lisa Friedrich.
Ah, I'm very familiar with her work.
Michael Fulk.
Oh, yes, Michael Fulk. Fine actor.
And featuring Dustin Runnels and Jill Thompson.
Yes, yes, it is a masterpiece in the making.
Brought to life by director, cinematographer, editor Lex Librand, who also did Summer League.
Okay.
There is born out of a collection of real-life stories from the vault of writer Brandon Stroud and Destiny Tally.
When they write up these things, it's like, don't you gotta have some credentials to begin with? It's just like, it's just because you have a name doesn't mean you gotta put it out there. I mean, first make a Halloween or something.
I'm the director of nothing.
It's like the movie that nobody wanted to see. I mean, when John Carpenter was starting up, he had a you know, Assault in Precinct 13, and it's like that was something people kind of got into.
Mm-hmm. From the mind of Billy Joe Stevens.
Oh, very familiar Billy Joe Stevens work.
Speaking of Billy Joe Stevens, another made-up name, but, well, not a made-up name. He's a legend in wrestling, but mm-hmm. I do want to say a character here on In Your Head was inspired by a real-life guy who passed away this week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was very sad.
Yeah, we met this man at the first fan fest that we went to, and you had a long conversation with him, and we walked around, we walked away from it, and we just thought that man was full of total shit. But it turns out we were wrong, and we didn't know it till we saw his Facebook page, and like everything he was telling us was probably the truth. Mm-hmm. That was Scott Epstein.
Yep, Scott Epstein.
It was just like, he was a good dude and everything, but he was just telling us all this great. Well, didn't he say like he was there when Bruno won the title or something? Or what was some of the stuff he was telling us?
Yeah, he was there for that, and like he called Vince like Vinny because he knew him since a little kid. He used to have bounce on his knee or something.
Mm-hmm.
He was basically there for everything that ever happened, and. It was like a father figure to like all like Vince McMahon and all.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, maybe not everything was true, but like a good bit of it was true. He actually was somebody, and we just thought he was just some lunatic.
Uh-huh. So rest in peace.
No, I mean, but it just goes to show you. I mean, you really don't know who you're talking to sometimes, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean. I guess, you know, if I went in and, like, I actually had done all these things, it would seem like an unbelievable story to anybody, you know? I tell people I'm a podcaster, and, you know, we've had people on, like, Goldberg, and I think, yeah, they're thinking I'm full of shit right now. But, yeah, he was a good dude, so it's sad to hear that, like, he got taken out by a car crash, so. You know, it just ended soon, you know? Just so sudden, you know. But, yeah. Rest in peace. Alrighty. Jack?
Mm-hmm.
We got some numbers we got to give out. Would you like to take a break and then we come back and take some calls and give out some Royal Rumble numbers?
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. So, if you want to call in, get yourself a Royal Rumble number, this is the number you need to dial. Get out your pens and papers, kiddies. It is 508-644-8503, or you can Skype in, Jack in, off. That's right. All right, we'll be right back. Give out some numbers. Have a good time. You can talk about shooting your TV screen after you saw what they did to Daniel Bryan. So one good thing, you know, a lot of people are listening because a lot of people just blew up their TV screen on Monday night.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
It was weird because right before that, people were making a bit, those little cartoon things of them shooting their TV.
And then it probably came, you know, it probably really started happening.
Huh? Is that why you're always buying new TVs? Because you're always shooting them?
Well, I won't incriminate myself, but we'll be right back.
This is the three-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion Scrapper and Adam Pearce, and you are listening to InYourHeadOnline.com, only the best in professional wrestling radio.
All right, we're back here on In Your Head Wrestling Radio. I'm the fucking internet icon, Jack Jones. And he stole the power goat, and he's buying it up like he's never bought it. We got some callers on the line. They're salivating at the mouth. Their ears are all moist because they're getting ready to have an orgasm. They're here for many reasons, not just one. They're here to talk to Jack. They're here to talk to Intron. They're here to get themselves a Royal Rumble number. I'm going to go in order of call-ins tonight, so it's fair in the Royal Rumble contest. So first off, we got Old Dream of the Dream. Oh, he better have. If he better have. Ha, ha, ha.
I saw all the wrestling from Thursday all the way to Monday.
You did it, boy! You won yourself the wrestling prize of the week!
We got a very big prize for you in the shape of a number.
Oh! Something's been sitting on Intro's lap today. I guess a toy is the price you'll pay.
Jimmy Jam, what thing about the professional wrestling world would you like to talk about on this edition of In Your Head?
What was the highlight? You watched it all! You watched Thunder! You watched Nitro! You watched Power Hour! You watched Sunday Night Slam! You watched Superstars! You watched Primetime Wrestling! You watched Raw! You watched Impact!
Shotgun Saturday Night!
You watch it on Saturday night. You watch it all. What was the highlight of all that wrestling that is filling your brain? Your brains are filled with wrestling, power drivers, chin locks, arm drags, even a friggin' knuckle buster. What is the highlight? Jimmy Jam, tell us.
The highlight was we get to see the rematch that we just saw at TLC.
There you go. That's the highlight of all highlights.
There you go. The rematch that we just saw at TLC.
Total Divas versus the non-Divas.
Well, they're still Divas. They're just not on Total Divas.
What was this highlight you speak of, Jimmy Jam?
That when Stephanie made the announcement. That Randy Orton would be defending the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against John Cena.
There you go.
At the Royal
Rumble. See him! He's going to win it. This one's for it all, Intro. Before, it was the biggest match in the history, but this time, it's even bigger.
It's more important.
Last time, you found this, for whatever reason, I guess last time you didn't find out who the best, but this time you will. It's very weird. You have a TLC match, and then the blow off to the feud is a normal match.
That's what you get from WWE. But anyhow, yeah, so we're going to get John Cena and Randy Orton once again. Do you think that's what the fans are hankering for right now? Or do you think it's what they have to do to set up for WrestleMania?
No.
Anyone gives a shit.
Jimmy Jam, you don't even give a shit, and you're the one who brought it up?
I mean...
Come on now, Jimmy Jam, be honest with us.
Yes and no, so it's a both sides.
So it's an injured answer.
Extend.
Yeah.
Alrighty, Jimmy Jam. So he's excited and he's not excited. You got to take the good with the bad.
Alright, Jimmy Jam. Your number for the Royal Rumble 2014 is... Listen to me. Some audience saying... Number 15,
Jimmy Jam. Can you do something with that?
Yeah.
Who, if number 15 hits, who would you like to see come out? What wrestler?
One of the guys that's around the 400-pound mark.
There you go.
Yeah, like Big Show. Who else? Who else is big and bad in WWE?
Sweet Tea.
He's got to be a 400-pounder.
Right around that 400-pound mark, just like Grill Monsoon used to say.
Jimmy Jam says the fatter the better.
Yep. You like the fat? You like the fat broads, Jimmy Jam?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. He knows how to rock it. He knows that you just don't go to the Burger King with some skinny chick, and she's just like, I just want like maybe a chicken nugget. No, you go there and you're like, bitch, you're eating a Whopper.
When I went to Vegas when I was a younger man. And I met somebody I talked to on the internet. And we went out to eat, and she ordered, and this is a true story, she ordered a BLT without the bacon and mayonnaise. So basically she had a lettuce and tomato dry sandwich.
Yeah, I can't understand that one. I will order a BLT without the tea, but without the bacon.
Yeah, fuck that.
No way.
I just want a B. Just give me a pile of B.
Bacon and mayonnaise is a wonderful combination.
There's a guy on my Facebook who's just like infatuated with sending me photos of French fries covered in mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I saw on like Man vs. Food that they make a fry sauce by like taking mayonnaise and ketchup and mixing it together.
Really? I'm a ketchup guy on the fries. I like mayonnaise on a sandwich or like in a chicken salad or like a lobster roll kind of deal, but I don't think mayonnaise as a dipping sauce that's very good.
Yeah, and do you really need mayonnaise as a dipping sauce? You know how fattening that stuff is. I mean, it's all right if you just want to have a sandwich, but
you just talked about eating like a pile of bacon and mayonnaise, and you're like, "Well, I'm watching my finger. I can't dip my fries in the
mayonnaise." No, really, the mayonnaise puts a hurting on you. I mean, you can't blame bacon. Bacon's glorious.
There you go, Jimmy Jam.
You gotta take the good with the bad, Jimmy Jam. That's what I'm trying to tell you all.
You ever cover those fat girls in mayonnaise?
But if you're eating, like, a sandwich with mayonnaise drenched all over it, then you turn around and eat your fries with mayonnaise drenched all over it?
That's good eats. I don't know. It just doesn't sound good to me. I like the bitch. All right. Get out of here, Jimmy Jam. Good talking to you. Let's see here. We've got the fine, lovely, sorry, she just broke up with the love of her life. We've got Jujubee on the line.
Hi.
How you doing, Juju?
All right. How are you?
Not bad. And that's not Boxman when I'm saying Juju. We got Jujubee.
Juju, she was making, like, some claims, and I said I couldn't deny or confirm them.
Uh-oh.
On the show that I was here, I was doing my thing, it was an intro solo show, and she said that you got Jimmy jammed, and that's why you weren't there that night.
No one is man enough to Jimmy jam the Jack. It's like friggin' Walter White. It's like, I ain't the one where people are knocking on the door. I'm the one doing the knocking. I know it's Jimmy jamming me. I'm doing the Jimmy jamming. So next time I hear anybody in the Headyverse and the Headyverse down the street, wherever it is, who makes such a claim, bam, bend them right over, Jimmy jamming them. I prove wrong to you, boy.
What if it's Matty Oil?
Matter.
That might be what he wants.
Well, that's what he'll get.
Then I'll deliver in spades.
Think about that, Juju B.
I said it was a rumor. I didn't know.
Yeah,
if it was
well, you're
there.
you're gonna find out. I saw on the Facebook page, Jay Mike. He's like, I'm bringing the Astroglide to help Juju forget about Batty. Forget the Astroglide. I'm gonna Jimmy Jam Juju. Ah, no Astroglide, no lube at all. What do you think about that?
That might be a little painful.
Yikes! I'm glad I started this conversation.
Twice about making such allegations to an icon.
What is that noise?
Austin Zirkle, Chef Austin. Actually, it might be. I think it might be Juju's toy she's got going on.
Oh,
listen to the icon talk.
Aren't you glad you called in tonight?
I knew it was a mistake. So I see I'm not here. You call up and you're talking to the Inch Man about me.
I said it was a rumor. I was concerned. I thought maybe you were in the hospital.
It didn't sound like she was saying it was a rumor.
You can trust that I say my honest soulmate. No! ETA, just like Steve Austin, don't trust nobody, even though that would be ETN. But it doesn't matter, because he's a redneck. He doesn't understand the basic. It doesn't matter.
He knows how to get your penis hard.
I don't trust nobody. I don't trust Inch anymore. I don't trust Juju. Oh, for myself for now on 2014, that's my New Year's resolution.
And by that, I meant, you know, he sells the penis pills.
Who?
Steve Austin. I said he knows how to get your penis hard because he sells you the penis pills to do.
That's what I wanted to hear.
I want to take that quote. Steve Austin knows how to get my penis hard.
You got to have the rest of it, though. Because
no, I do not. That's what makes the quote better.
Well, whatever. I guess I asked for it. But, yeah. Forever Hards, Jack.
Oh.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Since Intra, he shilled the penis pills while you weren't there, I was going to hear if you could.
Oh, now, see, if I say something like this, oh, my God, I don't know about that. I don't think I should be all your own. I'm a good Christian boy. But I'm not here, and it's all rape and penis pills.
Well, if you have the opposite of sex,
ain't
asking me to
rape
do it.
And penis pills.
I can put all morals aside.
I see. It was probably Nazis when I wasn't here, too.
Well, you know, he kind of fell for that trap, too. But anyhow, no, it wasn't all Nazis when you weren't here.
Well, at least you saved some of the good times for me.
Yeah, okay. Wasn't your grandfather like a World War II veteran?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't think which side he fought for. I'm just kidding. Sort of. All right, so, Juju B. What is on your mind in the world of wrestling besides, you know, rape and penis pills? It's just a dirty
I'm pretty sure from the old school Raw, like they my Brad Maddox said that Ric Flair is going to be on the show because of him.
Mm-hmm.
They're both from North Carolina, so they have that connection, you know. So I like people from North Carolina.
Why?
Why not?
I never had that feeling. Like I just like people from North Carolina.
I know one who thinks I'm a friggin' Satanist. They're smoking this pot, ripping people off of money. So I don't want that Satanist over there.
Who could you be talking about?
I don't push my beliefs on others. Okay, where every year at the Hall of Heroes, everyone bow their heads and say a prayer to Jesus. All right, Juju. No.
I started worshiping the devil because of you, Jack.
Well, you people, if Jackie Jones doesn't get his bunny back, it'll be a lot worse.
You'll think the devil got himself inside you when Forever Hearts is in action.
Rape.
Could any charges be brought up on me because I just said that?
Charges of love.
That's right.
All right, Ginger B. Not enough of your bullshit. Let's give you a number. Dirty girl here. Number 12!
I think we've done all the talking, but number 12 is your number.
All right, number 12.
All right. You know what? I know you just had this big breakup, so I'll go easy on you.
What?
You're a good girl. Hopefully we'll talk to you some more here in 2014.
Alrighty.
If I hear any more of the shenanigans when I'm not around, be helpful.
Hey, you're not. Wait. Hey, anything is
there
fair
will
game.
Be hell.
Anything is fair game when you're not around. So if you should. Never mind. I'm not going to say it. I might have said the stuff on past shows that you weren't on either. Also, just testing to see if you ever listened. But you obviously don't listen. So.
Well, why should I be like anybody else when I'm not here? I'm just kidding. I think people prefer. But anyway, thank you, Ginger B. You're a good girl.
All right. Good night. Good
night. And all kidding aside, thank you, Inch. That was cool of you to do the show on your own when no one was here to back you up.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it was an interesting, experiment. Jimmy Jam, he was sitting in, And I had a lot of callers. So. Juju B was my first caller.
She was your first?
Uh-huh. She broke my the intro solo cherry.
Yes.
Which I'm not sure if that's a good thing.
She gentle?
Very, yeah.
Right, we got Bob on the line. Is this Bob Attacks Wrongness?
Hey, man, it's Bob Attacks Wrongness.
Shit, this man, I've always loved this guy's name. He is just attacking wrongness all the time.
From all angles, man. Definitely.
I love that. I love this voice, too. It's good.
Cheers, Pud. Yeah, no, I've been, like, listening to you guys, like, since 2007, and it's been my favorite thing to listen to every week, you know?
This guy just won himself a heady caller of the year!
That's music to my ears, man.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Times.
Yeah, like, you guys should be, like, famous or something. You know, like, you just, like... Just,
I think I'm famous, but when I pull out my wallet, it sure don't say famous. It's just like... It's like, no.
I don't think anyone's does. Like, I got my wallet here, it says famous. They got my famous card.
I'm sure somebody does. I mean, you know. Like,
you think Mel Gibson pops his wallet open?
No, it probably says something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, he opens it up and is like, you should just fucking smile. And then it asks, are you a Jew? Those are the type of questions he likes to ask.
Is he still making films, Mel Gibson?
Yeah, I think he's doing something. Yeah, he's keeping on, I guess.
Was there one where he's like half a bear or something?
He's half a bear.
Yeah,
kind of like the Chuck Norris series where he turned into a bear.
What? Chuck Norris got like became like a hairy gay man.
Well, that's impossible. But he turned into like an actual bear.
What?
You don't remember the show that he turned into a bear?
I guess not.
And Batty Oil made a guest appearance.
All right, so Bob Attacks Wrongness. What's been your highlight so far of wrestling this week?
So far this week, to be honest, mate, I haven't like barely watched Raw at all. But I saw Brock screaming, and I really liked him screaming.
Uh huh.
Like that's it, really.
It is. Brock Lesnar comes out, and it's like, holy shit, this is what wrestling should be. It should be giant ass-kicking guy who screams.
Mm, that was a primal scream that he let out. It was just like...
My mate said he sounded like a pterodactyl.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
Yeah, well, the first one he got up, he was just like, yeah! it was kind of crazy. I know if a man just did that to like a big dude like Mark Henry and he just jumped up and went, yeah, I'd just like, okay, I need to go the other way. This man is not to be fucked with. I think even if I was on Forever Hards, it would just decrease.
Uh-huh.
Like, nope, not doing anything here. Just get on down the road.
That would suck if you were, like, locked up with Brock Lesnar as your cellmate. He just know he can be a prison bitch.
I'm gonna, like, sit with him in the room and stuff.
Can you talk like Sable?
Terrible.
Leather ass.
Your ass is too soft. You need to be leathery.
Alright. Bob attacks wrongness. Your number... is 16. Now, if you're watching the wrestling, you're watching the Rumble, number 16 hits. So you know that this is your guy. Or a girl.
Yeah.
Who do you want to see come out at number 16 that you think is going to win it?
That I think is going to win it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Like, has number 16 ever won a Rumble?
I don't know what to get her historians on this.
Someone will know.
I kind of doubt it.
Yeah. Oh, Christ, man. It's like Daniel Bryan in the Rumble this year?
I don't think they've announced really anybody, but he could be.
He might be. I say he will be.
He's the one I want to win the Rumble this year, but...
That's sure.
To be honest, I'd like to see, like, a mad return, like Jake the Snake or something.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's the thing. DDP has been lobbying for Jake the Snake Roberts to have, he wants to come back and be in the Royal Rumble. He's not saying I want to come back and main event WrestleMania, but he wants to come back and be in the Rumble. I say let him.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I'd love to see Jake the Snake come out there, the Damien, throws the bag in the ring, gets in there.
Like, everyone jumps out and stuff.
Yeah, he does, like, a short-arm clothesline, gives someone a knee lift and hits a DDT, and I go, hell yeah, Jake the Snake! You know, and someone throws him out, and then it's like, oh, well, he's out. But I think it'd be awesome.
That could, like, build up into, like, what's going to happen next week with, you know, old school Raw. Maybe Jake the Snake will come out, announce that he's going to be in the Royal Rumble.
I dig it.
Mm-hmm.
What about Scott Hall as well? How's he doing these days?
I guess he's doing all right, but I don't know. You don't hear much about Scott, so...
He hasn't relapsed or anything, has he?
I don't
know. I mean, he's probably locked up in DDP's basement. He's like, no, bro. Nobody's going to find out about you doing this. Nobody! And then he's like, he makes him watch like the entire catalog of DDP yoga again. Just, like,
Are you still doing that, Jack? DDPO?
I started it.
Oh, fair juice, man.
I will try it out here in 2014.
Lies.
I'll stick to it.
Weren't we just having a conversation about mayonnaise?
So?
I love that mayonnaise.
Oh, mayonnaise. I don't know what that one.
I heard your beard was made out of mayonnaise, too.
I make gargle mayonnaise. That ain't true.
If you're not talking food, it's talking gay shit.
Sorry, song man.
He's like, God damn it, you're making me gay again.
You think like he listens to us and stuff and like he feels like a little, you know, something going on downstairs, and he's like, I'm turning gay!
He knocks over his Puzz 3Ds as he's turning around. He's like, no! Neil Jones, don't make me gay. I don't know, wash the day away.
Are you familiar with the song, man, Bob Attacks Rognes?
Of course I'm familiar with the song, man. I keep watching his... song he did for Insha over and over again about him being in a tub.
Oh, my.
Stuff. It's hilarious. Full of drugs, a tub full of drugs.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
It cracks me up every time.
That was one of his better ones, that I was in a tub full of drugs. Can I sue him for slander or something?
What are you going to get?
I get all his
poster some bad diva or something.
You get, like, a bunch of, like, Z-level romantic comedy DVDs.
Yeah, okay, I'll drop that suit.
He did get a $75 Amazon gift card for Christmas. I guess he'd get that.
Hell yeah. Now I'll be rich. Got the song man fortune.
All right. So, good talking to you, Bob. It takes around this. I hope we hear from you again sometime.
You too, guys. Bro jobs to both of you.
There you go. Thank you. Up.
Thank you.
For that Forever Hard or whatever the hell.
Mm-hmm. Forever Hards.
It sounded very excited about that. All right. See you, Bob.
Much love, guys. See ya.
That was cool. Yep. He's been a long-time listener. He's only on the YouTube page or Facebook. I like that guy.
Got himself a number. That's good.
He
times.
Did indeed. Indeed. We've got ourselves one of the many chefs of, well, I think only two, but one of the chefs of In Your Head. We've got Chef Austin on the line.
How's it going, boys?
Going pretty good, Chef.
Awesome. I'm enjoying some lovely bourbon this nice New Year's Day.
So I saw there's a new smoked maple bourbon.
Ooh.
I saw it on Facebook. Facebook was always keeping me updated on the booze. I was like, God damn, that sounds good.
That does sound good. Yeah, I need to check that out. So yeah, the wrestling this week, I haven't seen any new wrestling for a while. Caught the tail end of the Raw. And
that's about all you really needed to see.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. It's kind of neat. Lesnar's back. You know, and then Daniel Bryan, I guess, really, really enjoys beards. So he's joining up with the Wyatts, I guess. I don't know what's going on with that.
It's not good.
Yeah. Anything about his character other than that he just has a beard? Is there anything that, like, goes along with the Wyatt crew? Yeah.
I don't know, man. Oh my god!
Hillbill?
I don't know.
And they're kind of like that. He brainwashed him, but how? Just like kicking his ass, and he's like, "Yep, I'm with you guys." Now.
And is that ever good for anybody that the brainwashed character?
like
gosh,
he just gets that much more popular when he turns on him. Like, well, I don't know. Like, yes, you were brainwashed by this hillbilly. Now you're better.
Yeah, he's literally laying there with his head in the mat, and he's like, oh, you're right. It's like, well, I don't get it either. Like, what the fuck just happened? Like, oh, that's it, boys. Let's go. Let's do this.
Has anyone just had their ass handed to him more often than Daniel Bryan on Raw over, like, this last year?
Kofi Kingston.
Ooh. No, I mean, not even this level. Like, there's been so many Raws at just then where he's just, like, decimated by, like, 20 people. That whole feud with Orton every week was just he just gets destroyed by like 8 guys.
How can like Hunter ever deny that he's not trying to bury the man? It's just like here's the idea that I got.
And it never resulted in him winning, which was the worst part.
Yeah, like so you know, you look back on this 5 years from now. Is everybody just going to be like, what the hell did they do? They totally dropped the ball on that one. Like, I mean, like, I don't see. Maybe there's some kind of a big payoff at the end. Who knows? But
I think we've kind of gone past that point.
I don't know how you can work this out to where the fans will be happy.
I remember he had that thing with Booker T. It was Triple H and Booker T. And, like, he was even doing, like, racist promos on him on Raw. And everybody's like, well, it doesn't matter because Booker T will beat him for the belt. And then he just beat him. So. I actually like Booker T. I was always a fan of Booker T. But I really think they try to hype him up too big. Is he really, like, the legend, like, they make him out to be? Like, he, they always show him, he comes out there and he's got the Hall of Fame ring, and they always, like, try to treat him like he's, like, it's like this one of the biggest stars of all time, and I never really thought of him at that level.
Yeah.
I liked Booker T, but, I mean, I just thought he was, like, a cool, like, mid-card guy, and was,
yeah.
like, he was believable enough to be a badass, but was also funny, I guess.
Yeah, like, I know he had a main event runs, but I don't think of him as, like, this all-time legend.
No. Yeah.
I believed him more than Larry Zbysko. Like, he was a guy, like, I always liked that he'd come out and call himself the living legend. Like, what has he done? He based all that off, like, this one feud that happened, like, before anyone, like, was alive.
Yeah, the big Bruno deal, which apparently was huge. But, I mean, that was definitely before me. But you know what, though? It's funny. If you go back and you watch the old Nitros, I've got the WWE On Demand channel.
Ends this month, intro.
Yeah, yeah. But you watch the old Nitros, and at the beginning segment, whenever they're talking, it's Tanae, Shivani, and Zbysko, the crowd always starts a Larry chant.
Yeah, and he does a little signature with his hand.
Yeah, and he always just kind of looks around like he's like, oh, gee, me? Really? What, guys? And, you know, yeah, doffs his hat, if you will, yeah.
I always really like Larry Zbysko.
And, oh, yeah.
It was weird reading the newest Jericho book where he actually picked him as, like, the worst commentator of all time.
Ooh, wow.
I was like, I don't buy it. It's just, he has this weird, they have, like, this feud going, but I don't think that's
harsh.
Like, I don't think you could say he's the worst of all time just because you don't like him.
Yeah, I mean, you've had some, you know, pretty bad ones in there.
I thought he was good, but even if you didn't think he's good, he's far from the worst of all time.
Yeah.
He's better than anybody around right now.
You know, funny Larry Zbysko story, I just thought of this. So, growing up when I was a wee little lad, my best friend, who was probably 6 years old, anyway, his dad had a Larry Zbysko VHS cassette tape. I remember watching, and it was just like some promos and some bullshit that Larry was doing. And I remember there was a segment where Zbysko had some nunchucks.
I was going to bring up when he used a nunchuck, because I remember doing that in AWA, and I always thought, man, that does not fit this guy whatsoever.
No, and it's like they had something sitting on like a tea of some sort, like a T-ball tea or something. I don't remember. They had like a fruit or something, and it was like Larry cut like a brief little promo. I remember, this was years ago when I saw this, and I just remember him like awkwardly swinging these nunchucks and like cracking whatever it was open. It's like, why is this, you know, dude with the nunchucks just this kind of arrogant prick, you know? Yeah, but it was great.
I remember watching that stuff when, you know, I was pretty young, and I'd watch the little dying days of AWA. I mean, I liked Larry Zbysko actually when he was in WCW, but when he was in the AWA and I was a kid, I was like, this guy I couldn't get him. He was like this kind of short, like annoying guy. He didn't really look much like a wrestler. He had kind of that long hair, but he wasn't like a built guy, and he had nunchucks. I was like, this guy's a dick. Like a bitch.
And the only thing I remember about Zbysko matches was just stalling. I just remember him coming up and like standing on the, you know, the corner of the apron and like talking smack and then ducking back out, and, you know, and like that just working the crowd, like doing that. And I don't really remember like any of his in-ring stuff.
I think the first time I became a fan of his was when he joined the Dangerous Alliance. I really liked his team with Arn Anderson. But the AWA stuff, I didn't like him at all. I was young. Man, and he had a ninja with him.
Yeah. Let's see, what else? So the Lesnar return was kind of cool. You know, I thought the Lesnar screams were kind of gay. Like, it was, I don't know. Like, they were just a little shrill and womanly for me, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you tell them they're nothing but manly if you're locked up in the same cell with him.
Well, yeah, I guess if I was toe to toe with Brock Lesnar, it would probably scare the shit out of me. But if I'm watching him on TV, I don't know. It was it was the F5 on Mark Henry was pretty awesome.
That was awesome. That was,
yeah, I mean, and it didn't look like he had much trouble doing it either. Like, it was very believable.
I felt bad because Mark Henry has a lot of injuries lately. He's a giant, you know, really big guy. That was pretty big move for him to be taking.
Yeah. Well, what, you know, I mean, at least he didn't break his hip like old Vinnie Mac did, so.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, shit.
We're going to give you your number, Austin.
Austin.
Got number 20.
20.
I think that's a good number.
That's pretty decent.
Yeah,
I'll take
that's,
that.
That's not bad.
Fingers crossed for Santino, boys.
All right. Is that who you had last year?
Shit, I don't even remember. I think I had Wade Barrett last time.
Nah.
I don't know.
Do you really want Santino to come out? I mean, are you just trying to throw this contest?
He went through.
No. No, I don't really care. It's just a fun little gig.
I'd be honest. I think the crowd would go crazy if Santino won the Rumble.
No, but I mean, like, come out as number 20. His number 20. I mean, there's no way Santino's going.
Oh yeah.
I think the crowd would go nuts if he did. I remember the one he was one of the last guys, and they were chanting for him.
Yeah.
You know what?
They've seriously pushed Santino. The crowd has actually really been behind.
Yeah, he's pretty much over. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see what happens. He's kind of a joke, but anyway. All right, boys. Good talking to you.
You too. See you soon. Right.
Thanks,
nice man. Talking to you.
Oh, yeah.
And let's have a real nice new year.
All right. Thank you, Dreams. That was Jimmy Dreams' dad. We'll give you a number, too.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye. Should we give him a number?
I guess. He was part of the show.
All right, thanks, Jimmy. You got number 13.
13, unlucky for some. But if Jimmy Jam's dad, if the guy who comes out at 13 wins the Royal Rumble,
mm-hmm.
Bam.
I think he's probably rooting for Bruno.
He'd be like, yeah, Bruno comes out, I got this in the bag.
Let's see, here we got Shaheen on the line.
How's it going, fellas?
Not too bad. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I can't complain. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's to you as well. Mitra, mm-hmm. How you doing?
Thank you.
I'm doing good. I'm psyched. We got Shaheen on the phone. We're going to give out some numbers. And we're going to talk some right here, right now.
Yes, indeed. Oh, man, what the fuck are they doing with Brian, man? Oh, my God. I mean, I know you guys already talked about it, man, but fuck.
No, it's all right. I think a lot of people want to talk about it tonight.
Honestly, I couldn't believe it, man. That was the first thing that shocked me in years, man. Not in a good way, but, you know. Shit.
Yeah, it was pretty shocking when he got up and he was like, you were right. And I was like, oh, no, what is going on here? And then he joined the Riot crew. How does anybody think that's a good idea in the back? I mean, what would the stage be like, you know, behind the scenes? It's just like, are they just all going around like, hell yeah, that was a good storyline right there. That was good.
I mean, I think they're trying to kill us, you know, kill us light, you know.
Oh yeah.
I just think they're trying to save Cena's spot.
It's like Daniel Bryan
comes out
and they're just cheer for him like crazy, and then like John Cena comes out and they boo him like crazy, and like, who should we turn heel here? Daniel Bryan.
Exactly. It makes no fucking sense. I don't know what they're going to do with him at Mania. I thought they were going to give him the title at Mania. That's what I was thinking, and then it happened, and now I'm like, oh, fuck. This guy's probably, you know, barely going to be on the card now.
Yeah, I don't know, like, what kind of character he's going to have in the Wyatt crew. I mean, is he... I don't know. He's just going to be one of his lackeys, I guess? He's basically...
Yeah,
like,
I wonder if they're
going to
give him the same gear.
Comes out in the flannel and... Just, I don't know. God. Yeah, there's no other explanation for this, and, you know, there's just people in the back that do not want to push the man, and they just decided to put him into this role to kill his career.
I don't recall anything like this before, man. Somebody being so over, and they just they just purposely just kill him, you know?
Like,
it just makes no sense to me.
I think it sticks out like a sore thumb now because it's like he was so over and the fans were so into him. And, like, you know, we've had situations in the past like Zack Ryder. I mean, people were really into him at one point, and he
right.
had, like, just a terrible character. You know, a terrible
right.
angle where he's going out there and being, like, scared of Kane and all that, and John Cena was his buddy. That never works out very well.
Yeah. Oh, man. I feel bad for the guy, man. he just looks like he's sad. I mean, I don't blame him, but I think him just getting so many cheers the one night when they were presenting the title to Orton, I think that night just did it for him. He even looked like he
yeah.
wanted the fans to stop cheering for him.
It's probably not hard for him to act depressed. It's probably like,
yeah.
I really am depressed. Like, yeah. if... You know, back in the day, if they would have suggested Austin to, like, to, you know, do a role like this, he would probably have disagreed.
Yo, definitely. He wouldn't work with Jeff Jarrett and Billy Gunn. He walked out when they wanted to lose to Brock Lesnar, no build-up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take care of your own character.
Yeah. It's like, do you think if Daniel Bryan would do something like that, do you think they would bring him back?
No, I don't think he has the personality to say no to something.
Yeah, but, like, even if he did,
too
like,
nice.
Do you think they would just say, all right, we'll just fire him because he won't do something that we asked him to do?
I don't think they'd fire him, but I think that he wouldn't get the TV time if he doesn't know.
Mm.
I don't know.
Like, if you like Daniel Bryan, you can check him out on Main Event.
Let's see, number... 5.
Ooh, jeez.
All right, that's a good number.
5?
They have the low numbers win.
Yeah, sometimes they do, but 5's kind of rough. Is there anything else on your mind, Shaheen?
The Extreme Rising show is a pretty decent show. You guys get around to checking it out, you know?
Yeah, I'd like to check it out.
I suggest you do.
I like the Extreme Rising product. And I heard that that Luke Cox, like, killed... Matt Hardy.
Yeah, he killed Rebby Sky too. She got her and she got super kicked by Stevie, and then I forget what Luke Hawks did to her, but it looked pretty brutal.
Hmm.
She got her ass kicked.
Hawks.
It was funny because one of the guys in the crowd, like 90% of the show, he was just screaming at her, just calling her a slut the whole time. And Matt Hardy, he started getting pissed at the end because he was like, you know, the guy was too drunk, and his kid was next to him, and you could tell his kid was just, like, embarrassed, like, oh, fuck, never again. Never coming with this guy again. Calling everybody sluts the whole show.
I remember I went to a WWE house show with my buddy Cooter. I think people would know him. He used to do the recaps, but, you know, we hung out a lot. And he's not, like, a huge wrestling fan, but, like, one of the females came out, the Divas, and he just looked at her, and he was like, hey, whore! I was just like, whoa, man. Calm down with all that. These are classy ladies. And he just wanted to call them whores.
Is that what...
Yeah, and that'll be... Go ahead.
No, I was just asking if that's just what everybody calls, like, women.
Yeah, the crowd was awesome, though, man. They were doing the old ECW chants and everything. It was awesome. You know, she's got her piece. He was getting pissed. I don't think Matt Hardy's coming back. I don't think he's going to come back.
Like, what if it really
and he got so mad.
Struck a chord with him? Like, it was actually true. She gave him the herps. And he's just like, man, how'd they know this?
They were screaming at him about Edge, saying, and Remy Scott probably fucked Edge too. He was getting pissed, and he was like, Edge retired, he can't wrestle anymore. Like, what the fuck is that? You could tell he was getting mad. I'll see him again.
That's just on the show. I know, well, I don't think I've been on the show since, but I went to Atlantic City a couple weeks ago for this horror movie convention, and Gene Snitsky was one of the guests there.
Really? What was he doing?
Yeah, he's huge.
He just had, he had a booth next to Joel Reed, who directed Bloodsucking Freaks, and then there was, it was like him, Kevin Van Tintenrick from the movies Basket, the Basket Case films, and then Gene Snitsky. It's like, what the hell? Not even like a big-time wrestler. You know, I could see, like, Jake the Snake has been at a lot of ones I've been at, Sergeant Slaughter, but Gene Snitsky?
We always thought he might have been like a listener. Do you think he? Did you think he knew you?
He waved to me, and when we were Annabelle and I were out to eat, he was in the same restaurant. Yeah, I don't know. He kind of looked like, you know, but there's a lot of times people know me from the hats if they are at the convention scene. So I don't know. We also have press pass.
Yeah, you got pretty recognizable. Not too many people look like you.
No, that's very true. And I wish I would have. Yeah. I wish I would have done an interview with him. That would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, that would have been neat.
Mm. There's a lot of people getting their picture with us. Just people in the casino.
No, that's cool. I didn't know you could take pictures in the casino.
Yeah, I don't think you're allowed to. You're not allowed to run here, but like, maybe on the game. I don't think on the gaming floor, but when you're just other places, I think it's fine.
Okay, cool.
Although we took some in the game and no one said anything. I don't know, maybe the rules relax on that now.
Especially when they're talking to the internet icon. They're like, just let him do what he wants.
Yeah.
It'll Jimmy Jam you.
Exactly.
Oh, man. I saw that picture earlier. That ruined my year already. You know?
Well, that ruined my year last year, so. This year.
Yeah, we were pretty early in the year. Not a good thing to wake up to.
Somebody texted it to me last year. He's like, look at this.
Whoever like, that is a dick, man. What a dick. Should delete him with the contacts. That's what I would have done.
I probably should.
Fuck that guy.
Who?
The guy who texted me the Jimmy Jam picture.
No, I think you should keep that guy. That guy was texting everybody that picture. Few people didn't know who Jimmy Jam was. I'm like, he was like, look at this. I'm like, what the fuck?
You seem to know a lot about this guy, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Alrighty, Shaheen.
Alright, man.
We give him the number yet?
I'll let you guys go.
You got number five.
Yeah, I got five.
You what's in the Rumble?
Shit, man. I was going to say Brian, but he's not going to do shit now. I don't know, man. I could care less anymore.
Isn't it just totally mission accomplished? Like, who can really care about him now?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you guys know how to marry somebody.
Even CM Punk. You just see him on Monday. He just seemed like he just didn't give a shit at all. Like, he's just playing a character. It's all money with him.
I can see him like actually getting upset that they're like doing that to somebody else. Like, you know, like it would really bother him that they're, you know, destroying somebody else's character.
Yeah, I'm sure they are, man. They're friends. I mean, anybody would hate that to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
This guy got over organic and, you know, they just fucking shitted on him every day. I thought they were just saving it for WrestleMania. I was like, okay, you know, they're going to make him lose. Whatever. They're going to build him up for WrestleMania and have a big moment at WrestleMania. And then they do this shit. Now I'm like, oh, fuck. They're really just trying to kill this guy.
Yeah.
Soon enough, he'll be on main event.
I don't see how there's any way he can, like, work himself into, like, a WrestleMania spot. I guess unless it's, like, the Wyatt crew takes on somebody.
Yeah. Jeez. That's not going to be very good. He doesn't even match with their style. Like, they're all pretty bad in the ring, and this guy's, like, good. It's just, like, it's just a good team-up, you know?
All right, Sheen. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for calling in. You're always a good caller.
All right, man. Take care.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Take her easy.
If you guys want to call in, it's 508-644-8503. If you want to make sure you get yourself a Royal Rumble number, or you can Skype into Jack and Off. We've got the mighty, mighty Lexar on the line.
Hello. Happy, heady New Year's.
Let it all hang out. How you doing?
That was pretty good. Happy, heady New Year's.
Yeah, I like that. You're a good man. Good man, Lexar.
Like
heady New Year's.
Well, we're going to copyright it, and you'll never be able to say it again.
Mm-hmm. I understand that.
So what's on your mind, Lexar?
All the copyright issues. Well, anyways, lately I've been thinking of a look back at this year of wrestling in 2013 and wanting to get your thoughts on 2013 and...
You know what? I actually wrote up a year in review I was going to do with the show, but I'll do it right now since you brought it up. Pretty much blue.
Wholeheartedly agree, sir.
There you go. There were some good matches. Mostly by The Shield, Daniel Bryan. Good promos by Paul Heyman, especially, and some stuff by Punk. But the Rhodes brothers too. Put those guys.
Mark Henry had a good moment.
Yeah, but overall, I think the wrestling as a whole, I honestly think it's the worst time since I've been a wrestler, which is basically my whole life. For all of wrestling, TNA, WWE, other stuff that may be good, I don't know, but overall, I just think wrestling has been shit.
Well, I think
both promotions, but overall, the shows themselves have been very bad. And
I think they just ruined Daniel Bryan's push. They just built it up. They built it real good, and then all of a sudden they totally crapped on it since SummerSlam, and then it just went all downhill from there.
Oh yeah, most definitely. That's kind of the theme of the show tonight, that they just pretty much destroyed his entire push. I mean, I don't see how he's going to come out of this.
It's like one of those early episodes of South Park. It's like when they kill Kenny. It's like, how are we going to bury Daniel Bryan this week?
Oh, my God. Oh, I know. Daniel Bryan. You bastards!
Anyway, I think this year of 2013 has been crap because I've been focusing on another wrestling promotion, which changed my whole view.
Changed your life.
BVW, yes. I went to the first BVW show in April at WrestleCon, and then went to two other shows in Voorhees, and I had more fun in CVW show than any WWE show I ever been to this year.
Combat Zone Wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Combat Zone Wrestling.
I haven't really heard anybody talk about Combat Zone Wrestling in a long time. Who were some of the stars that stand out to you in the Combat Zone?
Drew Gulak, The Nation of Intoxication, so Danny Havoc, Lucky 13, which they drink and smoke a lot and get high. Greg Excellent, the man who has a Mountain Dew logo, but only has his name on it. And he drinks a lot of Mountain Dew.
That's a better character than Daniel Bryan's now.
That's what the wide should be. Just a clan around Mountain Dew.
It sounds like he's basically James Storm, but instead of drinking beer, he drinks Mountain Dew.
Have you heard that AJ Styles is going to be in that promotion on February 8th?
He's taking it. Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles gone from TNA Inter. Leaving.
That's what they say, at least. I don't believe it. They still talk about him on TNA Wrestling.
He was just on Wrestling Observer, and he said he's it's really annoying to him that everyone thinks it's his angle when he's actually gone from the company.
It's really annoying to me when everybody thinks it's just an angle. It's real. And I'm pretty popular in the gay community.
I do want to ask him about that if you ever have him on. I think it's a hang up.
All you got to do is just go, AJ, I hear you're pretty big in the gay community.
And honestly, don't you think that would be that would probably be better than like an actual interview with AJ Styles.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they're really trying to act like, you know, this is a real deal. But I just the way he left, it's like, man, if this is real, there's been some strange departures from TNA. It's like Dixie Carter on her knees begging Hogan to stay. And then AJ has the belt acting like he's going to leave, and then he does. And that's the end.
It just makes the company look like total shit.
Like, which, I mean, that's kind of, you know, proves what we've been saying, but it's like, God, how can you have, like, somebody depart your company when you're in a storyline like that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think that AJ, this whole AJ leaving TNA thing is a storyline that news came out that Jeff Jarrett also left TNA?
Yeah, now do you think they could start a new company based around Jeff Jarrett and AJ Styles? And true.
It's like, who's the champion of this company? Well, I am, of course, Slapnuts. It's like, you can try to get the belt.
You think there's enough talent? Do you think there's enough talent out there where someone could create an actual promotion like that would be viable? I think there's a lot of. I think there is. There's probably a lot of guys don't know. And then there's like, you can bring Matt Hardy.
Yeah, you got him out there. You got
John Morrison.
Yeah, if you can get him, you'd have to bring in his old lady though.
MVP.
Yeah, MVP would be good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of talent that's free. You know, I mean,
Gertner.
Who'd you say?
Joel Gertner.
Yeah, Joel Gertner.
I'd like to see Joel.
Scott Hall.
Yeah, why not?
DDP, he can chill his yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Scott Hall could promote DDP yoga on the show.
Carl, you know?
I mean, how many angles could you have where they're just like, stop promoting that fucking yoga? And they just get mad at the dude and they want to beat him up. You know he'd be a natural heel. He just have people come out, and he's like, look at you, Tubby. You need DDP yoga.
And he'll start doing yoga moves in the ring. And everybody starts doing in the audience.
Look at this. This is the downward dog. Like, oh, my God.
Is that a yoga move or a yo-yo move?
I think it is a yoga move. They call it, like, the downward dog.
I'll be telling you soon when I'm free yoga master.
It ain't happening.
What?
Ain't happening.
Put my foot over my head.
I would like to see that.
I bet you would. All right, Lexar, you've got number 17.
17, ooh, Lexar.
Lucky 17. I figure maybe Sheamus could win the whole
thing. There you go. Sheamus. Spencer's return to Sheamus comes out there, wins a rumble. The world just goes apeshit.
Mm-hmm. He could squash Daniel Bryan on his way out. Mm-hmm. Just like Daniel Bryan's already been eliminated. And then, like, Sheamus is making his way to the ring, and he can just, like, kind of shove him.
There you go.
Spit on him or something.
There you go. Spit down the man's throat.
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone ever done that in wrestling as a gimmick? Like, not just spit on him, but he just spits down another man's throat. That'd be awesome.
Well, the boogeyman spit worms on people, but not in the throat.
You know what? I always thought would be a good gimmick for that guy. I think it would have sold a lot of money. If they would have made gummy worms for the boogeyman.
Oh.
I thought about this. I never thought about the show. And they would take them a big bag. The kids, they would grab them and they'd chum down their throat while Boogeyman was eating the worms. And they're like, God, mommy, come back. And then they'd have to keep them. They just buying bag after bag of gummy worms. Because it's like, you know, it's not just like a memorabilia you buy. You can put on your wall like a foam man. You have to just keep buying them.
Yeah.
So you can try to get on TV.
Well, you see that company you're talking about, you need to start it, and you can bring the boogeyman in, and you can sell gummy worms.
I bet you can't use the name boogeyman, so what would you call him now?
The creepy man.
I'd call him monster in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Monster under the bed. Monster under the bed! And he just lives under the ring, and he just pops out every now and then. He's the monster that lives under the ring.
Hell yeah. Sounds like good times.
Mm-hmm. Alright, Lexa, we'll talk to you soon. Have a good 2014.
Alright.
Keep on keeping on! Do
all
it!
Alright. Happy.
Mighty Lexar. You know the dealio, the mighty, mighty Lexar. See you later.
Keep on.
I hung up on him. All right, he is from the famous Crockett family. He is a fixture here in the Headyverse. He is the one entry. He is the only. Carol is on the line.
What's going on, guys?
No, Carol. We're just sitting back talking some wrestling.
Now, condolences to you, Carol. I know you had passing in your family. Very sad to hear about that.
Yeah, my mom passed away on December the 14th, and I've been hanging in there trying to. It's kind of hard, you know, but I do appreciate everybody on Facebook emailing me and sending me cards and all that. And Brandon, I got to give a thumbs up to Brandon. He sort of made me happy because he told me, he says, well, think of it this way. Your mom's up in heaven talking to all the wrestlers that had already passed, mm-hmm. and she's telling all the wrestlers about you.
Oh.
You know, and that made me feel good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that's very nice. And people who don't know, he's talking about Specs on.
Yeah, and he's really he made me really feel good, you know, when he said that to me and everything. So, but I've been hanging in there, trying to, you know, I'll bounce back, you know, but you know it's sort of hard for me right now, mm-hmm. and everything because you know it's my mom was like my best friend, you know, and you know she was before. She was started getting like Alzheimer's
yeah.
when we moved out of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, to Asheville. And but before we moved in 2011, she got the one thing that she definitely got to see, and she was really proud of that. I finally made it to the Hall of Fame, in the InYourHeadOnline.com Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
and. She did. She hugged me real good, and she told me that she was proud of me, that I finally accomplished something
yeah.
in my lifetime.
And you deserve to be there.
You do indeed.
Oh, yes.
Deserving members. You give back to the show all the time. It's we're happy to have you in the In Your Head Hall of Fame.
That's right. That's right. And she saw that when I got put in there, and she loved it. She finally looked at me and she said, "You finally did it. You finally got to do what you wanted to do, you know." And but it's kind of hard that she's gone and everything. I'm doing this or a whole lot. It was kind of a hard Christmas to have Christmas without her being here and having New Year's Eve and everything. But I'll bounce back up. But I'm getting ready and prepared to go to the final of the NWA Legends Fan Fest.
There you go. Be doing it to it. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So who are you looking forward to seeing at a Fan Fest this year?
Oh, gosh. I hope they have the Rock and Roll Express again.
Uh-huh.
They were cool at that this past Fan Fest, but I want to see a whole lot more wrestlers from TNA, from WWE, if they ever have any from WWE. There's a whole lot of wrestlers that I would like to see. that I haven't even met yet. And this coming Monday is going to be pretty good because they're going to have the old school, and Ric Flair is going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they mentioned that on Monday Night Raw, that Ric Flair is going to be there. So, no, a lot of people are going to be looking forward to that.
Woo! Oh, yeah.
You got that right. You got that right. Are y'all going to the Fan Fest this year?
Don't believe so, but I'm sure. Will you be there?
No, probably not. Things have kind of gone bad, Carol. We've had some issues.
Oh?
But yeah. I hope you have a great time and enjoy yourself. I know you get a big cake. It's something you look forward to every year.
Oh, yes. I definitely look forward to it. I love going to the Fan Fest every year. I'm going to hate that y'all ain't going to be there. But y'all gotta come.
All right, let's see what number you've got here, Carol.
Hopefully I have number one.
Oh, you want number one. We'll find out. We will find out.
Uh-huh.
No, you do not. But you have number 19.
That works for me. Yeah, that's a good number.
That works for me. That definitely works for me.
Who do you want to see you to come out at 19, Carol?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. I wouldn't mind seeing, what's his name? Blonde-headed guy. What's his name? Ziggler?
Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing him come out to victory.
You know, I could see him being like a surprise winner that people didn't see coming, so that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good pick.
Yeah. I think he would be a good winner.
Mm-hmm.
And make a good one at WrestleMania main event.
Yeah.
I think that would be good.
Do you like it now that it's down to one title, Carol?
I think it's pretty cool because now that they don't do that, they used to have the drawing or the whoever has to stay on SmackDown and whoever stays on Raw and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
The draft draw.
Mm.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I think it's pretty cool that they've done the WWE World Heavyweight Championship like that. I think that makes it good. When I was, I did find out, when I was talking to, Jackie at my mom's funeral, cause Jackie came there and, we were talking, me and him, and they said that they may put the Crockett family in the Hall of Heroes of the Fan Fest this year. And so that ought to be good if they do it. I hope they do it.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man.
That's another thing that I forgot to tell you about the Fan Fest this year, too.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought of it just now.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll put the Crockett family in the Hall of Heroes.
Oh, it was always a good night whenever you went to the Hall of Heroes, but yeah, it'd be cool if they get in there.
Oh, yes.
Alrighty, Carol. Number 19.
Number 19.
That is you, my man. Whoever comes out at 19, that represents you.
Do it. Mm-hmm. There you go.
We will talk to you soon, Carol. Thank you for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We will talk with y'all later on.
All right.
Take her
good
easy,
day,
man.
Carol. Have a good New Year's and good 2014.
Thank you. Y'all too. Y'all have a good New Year's.
Thank you. Let's see here on the line, we have Santo.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Not too much. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I just got to say that I listen to a lot of podcasts. The Austin, the Jerichos, the Cornettes, and I still got to say IOIH is still my favorite.
Yeah.
Somebody give this man an award.
I think I do.
But
you know what?
But I only
go on.
I was just saying, but I only have like one small caveat, though.
Uh-oh.
I was talking to Toast, right? And, you know, we're talking, like, you know, we get confused because, you know, you'd usually do the interview. Uh-huh. Then for, like, an hour and a half, you're, like, talking to yourself. And then you take up calls. Like, why do you talk to yourself for, like, an hour and a half?
I am just an insane man. And instead of just talking to myself, I thought it'd be cooler if I just made up another persona and had, like, a conversation back and forth with my own self.
Why did you make me West Virginian and I do like impressions?
What?
I have
to give some different character to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And why do I like the big blue cage, and you don't?
Well, you know, my alter ego isn't quite as bright as me.
But he has a bigger penis, right?
Allah in his mouth, but he's like, I like them there.
All right, I'll give you that. Okay, you that was a good comeback.
I cracked myself up on that one. Yeah,
you did. You're always cracking yourself up, apparently.
By the way, this is not El Santo Loco. This is Santo, one half of the Headyverse Matadors, along with Norn Rad.
That's right. Oh, quick shout out, ole to my brother Norn Rad. Ole, ole.
Yeah. I did want to say when you said that, I was like, ah, and, you know, there are some things I think that maybe, I'm not going to say for sure, but I do think there are some things that Brock Lesnar might, like, I think he, you know, he might be tougher than me. You know, it's up for debate and stuff, but I do think that I have a more manly growl than them.
I think we all agree with that one.
Itch man.
Yeah, you got a pretty good one, I guess. At what point do you like bust that out and just realize that you have a good growl?
Fucking time.
Okay.
I was editing some videos from Atlantic City. I did realize that, like, God, I'm really loud in public. As we were wooing, we were just going, woo, in restaurants. And in my mind, when I was doing it, I was like, oh, just me and Annabelle here is at the table. But no, it was very loud. And I'm pretty sure the whole restaurant could hear me.
Did you cover that in the other podcast yet, the Trip to the Czar?
I think we did, yes.
All right, I got to download that one.
I think we did? Whoa. I guess you're on a little bit more than G2 then, aren't you? I think we did.
We were booing and drinking. We brought, I know you're not a lot supposed to do this, but we brought booze into the restaurant, and so we each ordered a drink, and then we drank that drink, and then we filled them ourselves under the table.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you save money that way. It might be illegal, so don't do that, kids. But anyway, so then we were wooing, and we had hats on that would light up and play Christmas music and dance around. And then we noticed people to, like, the right of us were just, like, trying to, like, not look at us, which made me laugh. And, you know, they were embarrassed to be around. But over on the left, and all of a sudden, like, they were, like, cheering us on, and they came over and got pictures with us, which it's very weird. And then we were walking around, and, like, these hot girls would want pictures with us because we had these stupid hats and were acting insane. So it was very cool. And I asked them to tag us on Facebook, but that never happened, Insure.
Damn it.
Mm-hmm.
That blows.
The moral of the story was we acted like fools.
Oh, that was great financial advice and great advice on how to meet up girls.
Financial advice. Yes. Walk around. Yes, it was financial advice. Bring your own booze into the restaurant and refill your glass into the table.
Yeah, into the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get arrested, just go crazy.
Just go, woo! Turn your hat on.
You a Nature Boy fan, woo!
And press the on button on your hat. make sure the batteries are charged on your hat. Good go.
words to live by.
Mm. So what's on your mind in the world of wrestling?
Honestly, I have no idea. I'm kind of a little bit, you know, still drunk from yesterday, so I kind of don't know you guys.
Mm.
I haven't really been watching Raw. I saw, like, Big Show in a diaper, and it kind of just...
Yeah, those are disturbing commercials.
If you watch, like, the progression of this Big Show... Well, if you follow the progression of the character throughout time, it's just madness. But even just in this last, like, couple months, he's like... He was this anti-authority guy. He was fired. And then, like, they took all his money and owned his house, and then he was fired, and then he came back somehow, and inexplicably he wasn't fired and could do all this stuff and was never explained why. And then he was the main event guy and had the championship match, and now he's right out, following that up. He's just a fat ass in a diaper that people laugh at. What kind of story progression is that?
Doesn't those commercials just go on way too long, though? It's just like he's dancing in the diaper. He's still dancing in a diaper. All right, I think I've had enough of Big Show dancing in a diaper.
And people, then, I mean, WWE now, they don't say they're a sport. They say, you know, we're a show. They compare themselves to Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
Now... I'm a big fan of Breaking Bad and Sons of Anarchy and a lot of these shows on TV. I don't think the character arc of the characters are anything like Big Show on those shows. The writing of like, well, you can follow the story arc of Walter White from when he gets cancer to the end of the show, or from, you know, Jax on Sons of Anarchy from, you know, from point A to point B. That is, I'm pretty positive that the writing of those characters are far superior to the writing of the story arc of the Big Show.
That's a safe bet to say. And we also added R-Truth, who has, you know, been doing the same thing for like
20 years.
Oh God, just what stuff, dear Lord.
He's still singing that "What's Up" song.
What's up? He still can't find out what's up.
Wouldn't somebody tell me what's up?
He should just come back some days. Like, I just can't figure out what's up. I quit and just walk out.
Yeah, you should go crazy and be like, that wasn't rhetorical, and just fucking go nuts. Yeah.
Why won't anyone answer me? Oh, fucking R-Truth. It's does anyone really like R-Truth? I mean, honestly.
Not really.
I mean, I don't hate him, but it's just like, yep.
There was a time where I thought he could have been something with the little Jimmy stuff, but I don't know.
Yeah, that was another one. Yeah, because he turned heel and then turned comedy act within, like...
Yes. Look at all the character art. Look, The Miz. This guy... He's like, he's had like 5 heel turns in a month.
Yeah, what does he know? Like, he does heel face?
He has no face turns. He's just, he turns heel and then is a face again the next week for no reason, and then turns heel again. You can't just keep turning heel. You turn heel and you're heel. I saw someone was saying that they went to a house show, and on that house show, he turned heel. He tagged with Cody on him.
He's just really good at it, just turning heel.
And how dumb is Kofi? Why is he like, oh, I guess we're going to tag again.
I'll trust him this time.
You mean you're not going to double-cross me again? It's like, of course not, Kofi.
Mike Bessler here from PWI Magazine saying R-Truth is the best. Put the belt on the man. What am I on, though, I guess?
Well.
I write the magazine.
Yeah, there you go.
In my underwear, talking about the wrestling.
Yeah. In your underwear?
Well, underneath my clothes.
I mean, who is an Inch?
Inch is in his diaper.
Come burp me like a baby.
You're in. That's not the first time you said that. I really do think you're in.
No, I just found it a really creepy thing to say, I just say it every now and then.
I just found it really rousing. I'm not really into it. if some girl would come to you, Intra, and they're like, you know what, that is kind of my deal, would you give it a shot?
Would I give it a shot? I don't know. I mean, if it was just between the two of us.
Well, I'm not saying, like, you just public, like, baby mom sex. And, you know.
You know, just hearing you say that just kind of repulsed me, so. Yeah. No, I couldn't do it.
So you wouldn't breastfeed in public? Or...
That just reminded me of a horrible story, non-wrestling related. I was working at a nightclub in the city, and some guy comes 70 years. He had to be in his 70s. You know, he comes in normal, then he changes into a diaper, and I was just like, "What the fuck?" And next thing you know, he on the diaper bottom it says Princess Poopy, and I was just like, "What the fuck?"
you witnessed Intra in the future.
You know, shit gets real when the guy gets in his diapers.
Literally.
Yeah, the whole night is very casual talking to people, and I'm just, you know, I have to pretend to be casual. I'm like, oh my god, what's going on here? Like, the fact that he was a princess poopy was even, you know, man in diaper, that's whatever. Man as a transsexual baby, that's even worse.
All right, Inchman. So we found out. In 2014, I will find out what Inch's deal is. That's my.
Really? Am I the one who's in question? I mean,
we're crossing out baby. Man, baby. All right.
Listen to you cackling like a madman. Just at your own notions. You're like, choking yourself up.
That's my deal. All right. Number 11 is... Number 11 is Santo.
You got to screw that up, didn't you?
Yeah. Santo, your number is... 11.
You're 11, dude.
There we go.
You got to hit.
Don't be a number 3 man, Dan.
You got to hit.
I think you're going to get Ricardo.
No, well, no, my luck. I'm going to get one of the Matadors for real.
Matador 2. Maybe it'll be an El Torito.
Wow, that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty.
I think Juju would look good in El Torito costume.
Yeah, we told Juju we'll sell you to her for like a sandwich or two.
I will go make a sandwich right now.
And she's all yours.
Oh, yeah. All right, Santo. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for calling in. You're
good. All right. Have a good night, guys.
You too.
Take her easy.
That's good, dude. I like him.
Oh, yeah. It's always good talking to Santo.
All right. Inchman, we've got one of you. We've got a long time listener here. He doesn't call in very often. Now, there are people out there, you know, they might have, like, a big move.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do it all the time. Because they know if I save this big move for big time pay-per-view, it's going to blow the roof off this joint. And this man doesn't call in. He doesn't just call in like every day. He's not calling every hour like some people. He's, you know what? I'm going to save my call for something important. And that's what he's done here. Golgo 13, one of the original members of the Headyverse.
There you go. Golgo.
Happy New Year, guys.
Mm-hmm. I always say Golgo, interest is Golgo.
Golgo. I think it's Golgo.
I like Golgo.
Golgo, yep.
Mm-hmm. See, I pronounce it correctly, Jack.
How do you know? Maybe you just both pronounce it incorrectly.
No, because it's from a video game.
Well...
It's an anime and a video game. See, I know my shit.
I know what I made the man a video once.
What, have you jerking it?
Well, I made it, buddy.
That was a different video.
Now, if I did send you a video like that, Intra, what would you do?
This is like, lose the number. don't ever call me again, you fucking asshole.
Have they said go on the video game? Do you have proof that it's this, or do you just both have this collective thought that that's out there?
I'm pretty sure they say it in the anime.
I say Golgo. Golgo sounds better.
Didn't one of you guys do like a ROH video, a guy taking a dump on a lawn or something?
That's me.
Jack got that in the mail.
I'm going to tell the story, because there are new people. We got new people out there. Our people like Golgo has been around for 20 years. He was around decades before he even started the show. He's like, I know something's going to happen. Let's just sit here. He's like those people who park outside to go see like the new Star Wars movie. He's just
sitting there. They're going to be waiting a while.
Do you know that's coming out in 2015?
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty soon.
So, Inchman, there are new people. There's people like
Tubbs. Year.
There's Mike Bessler. I don't think he's been listening that long. Whoever. There's people just start listening to the show. So I'm going to tell this story. Some people might have heard of it. Some people might not. I'm like the old, you know, uncle. He tells these stories over and over again. But...
Well, what's the deal with the gummy worms and the boogeyman? You did tell that story earlier.
In my pants. All right, so... Inchman, back in the day...
I have to hear this every fucking time, you all. So let's hear it one more goddamn time.
Back in the day. Back in the old times. When shoot interviews were cool. When they were new, they were a novelty. Before the days where you just would look on YouTube to try to find a link, you would actually go out and you'd find ads in the PWI or whatever, and you'd say, holy shit, what's this, a shoot interview? Now, this was before podcasts, all that stuff, so it was very rare to hear an interview with a wrestler who would sit down for hour, two, three, some of those old ones are 4 or 5 hours. And they would edit in horribly, you know, footage that they obviously didn't know. But we'll forget all that. Just think about it. It's hard for kids today, these podcast marks, as you've coined the phrase, to understand this concept that there was a day before the podcast where you didn't hear these interviews. You didn't hear them talking about real wrestling. It was even before, like, there was a lot of books out. So they're putting out these shoot interviews, and I'm like, holy shit, I gotta get, you know, everyone I can find. You'd watch them, oh my god, this is amazing, blah, blah. So, the day came when they put out an Abdullah the Butcher one. And I was like, oh my god, Abdullah the Butcher. At that point in time, I never heard the man speak. It was way before any personal stuff between me and Abby. So I was like, I gotta get this. So I ordered the Abdullah the Butcher shoot interview. It was like $20. They send you the VHS tape. I get it. I'm all excited. Put that bad boy in the VCR. Hit the play button. And it's an up-close shot of what it was, a man. Appeared to be a young man. I'm not saying like a, you know, like a young kid. It was a young man, I would say. Probably, I have no idea. But let's say 20-year-old man. Squatting and defecating in his yard on green grass in daytime. And this is obviously not...
Well, now you know why his yard's so green.
It was not the Abdullah the Butcher shoot interview. So I fast-forwarded. You know, I thought, well, maybe, you know, we get to the Abbey shoot after this band pinches his loaf. So it goes on.
This must fast forward. Gotta find Abby.
So then I stop. I assume it's this whole tape. So I called up, and it was from our video, Rob Feinstein. And I assume I get Rob Feinstein on the phone. I don't know. Somebody. Maybe him or his gay lover. Doesn't matter. But anyway, so I get him, someone on the phone, and I explained to them. I was like, well, I get this. And it's, you know, guys shitting on his lawn. And he's like, oh, I'll just set it back. Set another one. And just hung up. And I was like, I mean, he didn't, there was no, like, surprise tone. Like, what? You've got a lawn? Or like, oh, shit, we'll send you out a free one? Nope. Just, we'll send it back. I'll send you one. And so I had to send that back. I had to pay for the shipping back. And so then I got one, and it was Abby. And so there you go. So it made me
and then
want...
Abby got up and shit on the camera.
It was a very shitty interview. So it maybe was foreshadowing. But...
So basically, you got a shit interview instead of a shoot interview.
There you go. It did make me wonder, though, do they have that video uncataloged and they would sell it to other people, like their other business?
Maybe.
Because he wasn't shocked. It's like, oh, we sent you, you know, tape 392 instead of, you know, 385. It's very bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think he does sell porn, or at least he did.
I think so. Yeah. And this I was not surprised by any of the things that came out later by Rob Feinstein, because after that I did think, you know what? There might be something shady about this manager.
Now what you need to do, Jack, is you need to find out who that guy was that was shitting on the lawn.
I need to
interview him. Yeah. Interview him like Rob Feinstein interviews everybody. He'd be like, memories of shitting on the lawn. You know, stuff like that.
And I'll be like, I will edit this part out where you're eating Chinese food. Don't worry about it. It'll be right there in the video.
Yep. And then you'll be like, switch tapes.
I like it when he asks something, the guy's like, that's not me. He's like, oh, okay. But it's still right there.
We'll just skip up.
What are you talking about? He's like, oh, I don't know. It was written here. I don't know.
This The only thing I ever bought from him was the Ric Flair one that came out, I guess, early last year. I guess right before his son died. Mm-hmm. And because it was just about his TNA run. And it was all right. But it was like, it could be a lot better if somebody like you or maybe High Spot, just somebody that had a clue. Instead of like, he just does the same interview every time. He always has to bring up Macho Man locking Liz in the closet. Like, he's obsessed with that.
Yeah, and it's there's no any type of follow-up questions. He's not a good interviewer. Even if he wasn't a shady character in real life, he's just not a good interviewer. But
he was the first.
It's the original, so they got the names. No, he's actually not even the original. I believe he stole the shoot interview concept from another guy, but he's the one that's known for. Known starting. So there you go.
There you are. There's the story.
Story time with Jackie.
Hell yeah.
All right. So, we do have a new year here at Golgo. Do you have any memories you'd like to share of the year?
Man. It's been a pretty crappy year for us, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
But I will say January to WrestleMania is usually my favorite time of year.
Yes.
As far as WWE goes. So I'm getting back into it now. I watched Raw for the first time probably like 2.5 months yesterday or 2 days ago. So it seems like they just kind of coast until around Rumble time.
Mm-hmm.
I tuned out after Battleground. That was the last pay-per-view I ordered WWE. And I was just like the total shit. Like I put on the board, it was like, I mean, I'm not going to get into it because it's over and done with. That was bad, so it kind of turned me off for a while. And I always used to watch Raw, but I listen to you guys, and it just doesn't seem like I'm missing much, you know.
Mm.
But I think it's going to get good now.
I agree. It usually picks up about this time of year, and I do want to bring something up while you're here as. This year we lost Monday Night Mayhem. The Big Mosh has retired from wrestling podcast.
Oh,
how do you feel about that, Go-Go?
Yeah, it's sad, you know. What was the catchphrase? 10 years and still kissing ass. I mean, kicking ass.
Our home of radio goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on your keyboard.
Sick back.
I had no idea he was still around until a couple shows ago when you said that.
Mm-hmm.
Were they still doing the show during Monday Night Raw, or was it before? You don't know.
Because
that was the dumbest thing ever when they were actually doing the show during Raw. Like, who's going
to
listen?
You want to watch Raw or listen to Big Mosh?
that's not a very smart time to do your show during like the biggest wrestling show of, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know we do our show during main event, but who really cares about main event?
About during main event.
I mean, and they started, like, while we were already doing this.
Yeah, it was an established thing. Like, mm-hmm. Let's pick time when this other show was on. It was, you know, Raw was this. That's, you know, the pinnacle of wrestling.
Exactly.
No matter how good or bad.
The dark match.
That's the show people watch. Is the dark match still on? I don't know. He did come back recently on Facebook for a little while. It was interesting.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to join Facebook.
You do need to join Facebook. You don't need to use, like, your real identity. Just come on. I actually say this to everybody out there. If you listen in your head and you're not on Facebook, join Facebook so you can interact with us on the Facebook group page. Now, if you fear that, like, I don't want my real identity out there, you don't have to do that. You can – Slardy Bardfast has just joined Facebook, and he's using the name Slardy Bardfast. So Go 13, whoever else out there, if you're not with us, come and join us there. You know, if you guys want to join the board, you know, that's cool too. Right now, currently, it's not what it used to be. People, I really think a lot of it is just a lot of different reasons, but the big thing of it is a social media network, and everyone's on the Facebook page. There's over 2,000 members now, and it's fun just to go there, and it's always very active.
Yeah.
Craziness going on. It's fun times.
I think Facebook is, you know, those type of sites have heard a lot of forums, honestly.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you should join that, Google. It's fun.
Yeah, I hope you guys still keep the board, though.
Yeah,
a lot of
classic
stuff on there.
No, I'm not. It won't be closed. But if anyone out there does want to join the board, maybe we could have a board renaissance in 2014. Go over to iwhitewrestling.com and click on the message board. Make yourself an account and join in.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it. I haven't been there too much, but I've been busy this last year. But I still read it. I do enjoy it. I enjoy everyone on there. I know some people have problems with different people. I'm not going to say that they don't annoy me at times, but I enjoy everyone there. I like all the personalities interchanging and going at it. I dig it. All right.
Well, they're all you, Jack, so you should enjoy it.
That's very true. I just sit there all day going back and forth.
Just talking to yourself.
I get accused of that now on Facebook, people saying that I'm like all these accounts.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you used to do it a little bit back in the days, but now it's just like everybody's saying, like, oh, it's all just him.
Mm-hmm. It's very weird. But anyway, when we were driving to Atlantic City, someone was messaging Annabelle saying that I was hacking their account.
Yeah.
I was in the car with her. It's very bizarre. That was Jimmy Forte, so fuck you, Jimmy Forte! 18. Now, I've been trying to reach around different places in this bag, but we've really been...
You're always good at reaching around.
Well, you know, it's true.
Well, reach around my bag here, Jack.
I try to make you happy, too. After I Jimmy Jam, yeah, I give you a little reach around. A little smile on your face. So...
It's amazing how he's always got to work in that he's the top.
So has anybody won the Royal Rumble contest twice?
I don't believe so.
All right. Well, this might be the year. Back to back.
Who do you want? Who are you predicting wins?
I guess I'll go with Batista.
The Animal Batista.
That's a good prediction.
But I heard, like, on Meltzer, like, now that they know that people think that, they'll probably change their minds.
Probably.
To be honest, I do think they do that. They put way too much credit into what, like, 10% of the audience knows, you know what I mean? Because I go to, you know, live wrestling shows, and I don't think these people are, you know, exactly getting online and listening to reading sheets and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just from hearing them talk. I mean, maybe if you go to an ROH show, it's different. I've never been to an ROH show, but like, you just go to a WWE show, it's like the smartest people on the planet. I'm sorry. So. A lot of kids, you know, and the adults bringing the kids probably don't watch that much, so.
Mm. Yeah, I figured.
But I like to see Batista.
Yeah, it's just stupid. I think it's stupid to change your booking, you know, based off what trying to trick the internet.
Yeah, because like I love shows like Walking Dead. I don't like get on the message boards and like read about it. I just watch it when it comes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. So anyway, thank you for calling in, Gogo. We hope to hear from you more frequently in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You guys have a good new year, and keep up with the without your head stuff, Jack. And
thank you.
Still want that Castlevania show, Incher. I'm still holding you to that.
Maybe one of these days.
Gogo kind of sounds like Dwayne, only straight.
I'll take that. I'll take that. Well, I'm from Virginia, so I guess we all kind of have the same kind of accent.
Right.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Take her easy.
All right.
All right, Jackie Jones.
All right, one inch man.
Jack,
we got a Chris on the line.
Jackie Jones.
Jack.
Yeah.
You're right. You're always right. No matter how hard I try, they won't let me enjoy Monday Night Raw. I will join the Jack Pack.
Well played.
How's it going, Jack?
Well played. I like this man. This guy's awesome. Now, we have many Chris's. Which Chris is this?
Days of the Dead Chris. Abuse of Power.
Oh, nice, nice. I know you more as Abuse of Power. I know you as Chris, too, but I mean...
Yeah, Abuse of Power, we automatically know who you're talking about.
Very well played. I like that. Very good, very good. What did you think of that? Some people actually on the Facebook were all about it. Intro. They were like, "Miss the balls." I don't think anyone says that anymore. Actually, now that I think about it, that's probably like a term from when I was like in junior high. This is the balls.
Probably just the a term from when you go to those bathhouses.
This is
the balls, and you're like, "Oh, okay."
And Andrew's like, "I want the cock."
Why would I want a rooster?
I ate balls in Atlantic City.
Did you?
Yeah, we went to this thing. It was called... you can listen to the recap over on withoutyourhead.com, but we went to this thing. It was called Bizarre Bites. Didn't you?
Mm.
And it was like this famous chef, and he made all these weird things. And it was eel. Sea urchin didn't come in, but that was supposed to be there. Pig parts, grilled heart, blood sausage, kidney pie, lollipops with ants, lollipops with worms. That was in the dessert. And one of the things was Rocky Mountain oysters, which are bull testicles.
Yeah.
And so we went there, and fancy thing was called the Top of the Trop. So it was like this little like club kind of like thing up in the top of the Tropicana. And so they had a bar there, and they had the chef was there, and he told you what everything was, and it was kind of like a, the thing was laid out. I don't want to say buffet, but it was actually, fancy and stuff. So anyway, it was Annabelle and I, and we sat with this couple we met there. And so we're sitting at the table, and we were filming our thing because we were filming while we were eating. And my idea was, Incher, was I was gonna teabag the bull testicle before I ate it because I thought that would be funny on the video. But in a very rare moment for myself, I was actually too embarrassed to do that at a table with other people. So I refrained from. I did put it over my head and lowered it into my mouth, but I didn't bounce it in and out. But I do regret that, because I do think that would have been a very funny video.
Mm.
But I do say, Incher,
yes, sir.
Fried bull testicle, it's not very good. Not good.
No.
People rave about Rocky Mountain oysters, but, yeah.
Maybe you need, like some sort of sauce for them.
Well, they did. They have a remoulade sauce. So the first one I tried, it didn't have the remoulade sauce, and was not a fan. And the woman next to us, she was like, "Try it with the remoulade sauce." So I put a little more seasoning because they were very under seasoned too. So I put salt and pepper, and then I poured some remoulade sauce on it. The outside was very crunchy. And the season, the sauce is good, but the inside, the consistency and the flavor, it's like this kind of like sawdust. It was not good. So I would not return to eating of bull testicles.
Hmm. Yeah, that doesn't sound too hot to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. I'm sure everyone is curious about that. Abuse of power. Have you ever eaten bull testicles?
No.
I would not recommend them.
Don't recommend balls, huh?
Mm-mm. I want to ask Chef Piper fan in there. Now, do you think when they fry the testicles, do they still have like semen in them? So you're eating like deep fried semen? I don't know. That's weird. But anyway, abuse of power. What is on your mind for the world of wrestling?
What do you think of the Daniel Bryan angle with him joining the Wyatt family? You think it might give him a little bit of an edge, kind of like when Sting went kind of dark side in WCW?
I don't think so. I think it's a mistake.
In
my opinion, I don't really see any positive to this. And he's not a guy that needs like any changing. The crowd absolutely loves him. So I don't see why anyone would think we got to give this guy something else. The crowd's already loving the dude.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I think it'd be interesting if they play it right, but I don't see that happening.
I don't know. I just this storyline just seems like it's set up just to ruin the man to me. I can't see any upside in this. It's just like, where does he go from here? I can't think of anything, honestly.
Maybe after breaking away from the Wyatts, he comes back against the Machine with vengeance.
It's basically like, you know, like the Temps Jason film where they blasted him into space. They need to make, like, Sister Abigail into, like, an astronaut farmer, and they take Daniel Bryan all the way to, like, her rocket ship, and they blast Daniel Bryan into space. They're like, if you come back from that, Daniel Bryan, you are the man. And then, like, Daniel Bryan can, like, fish his way back from outer space. And he can kick some Wyatt ass. That would be a good storyline.
Do you suppose the Wyatts will benefit more from this than Bryan will?
I think they've already have. I mean, now a lot of the wrestling fans know that Daniel Bryan's locked up in this god-awful storyline with them. So, yeah. I think they've already benefited as much as they can from it. I'll be curious to see if they do anything with this, but man alive. It's bad times.
Yep. Are you looking forward to it? Do you think this is going to lead to something great?
I think if he became like their top gun and snapped one day on them and then went back for the title, a less happy-go-lucky Daniel Bryan going for the title, maybe with a little bit of an edge. But I think that's too slim of a window for them to actually play it. I don't know if they'll actually do it.
Maybe you could go back to like what Jack was talking about earlier, eating balls. Daniel Bryan could like grab a hold of Bray Wyatt's balls and just rip them off with his mouth. He just eats his balls.
That's weird.
He could tell you if there's semen in them, too, then. Because they're totally raw.
Well, from what I heard from the Melts, is that the planned match at WrestleMania is Bray Wyatt versus Cena. So I don't think this is going to lead to anything. Like,
who wants to see Bray Wyatt versus Cena?
I don't know.
Man, it's like they're kind of mucking up John Cena's bit now. It's like, he's going to take on Bray Wyatt?
Johnny Cakes is all about it on the Facebook page.
Yeah. I saw he was kind of happy about this, but man, I don't know how. Bad. I don't like it.
Yeah, if they have that planned, I don't know what the point is with having Brian with them. If Brian's still with the Wyatts and he went after Cena for the title, I could kind of see that.
I guess they're going to probably do a storyline where John Cena is the savior of Daniel Bryan. He's like, come on back, Daniel. You know this ain't you. And, man, I don't
all right,
see
now that. Now that you've said that, I've retracted every possible positive of that storyline.
Except blast him into space.
Oh, man. All right, let's see what number you've got here, my friend. Abuse of power. Give me a prediction on your number.
Above.
Number 9.
Ah.
Number 9.
I'll take it.
It's you.
Who do you want to win the Rumble? Are you a Bray Wyatt man?
Maybe. I guess I wouldn't mind Bray Wyatt just for something slightly different, but.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? That they, it's all a matter of between guys who've already done it and been in the scene or jobbers.
Yeah, it's just the same dudes over and over. But I don't know, Bray Wyatt. Why not Bray Wyatt main event in WrestleMania, man?
There you go. That sounds like the feud everybody wanted to see: Johnny Cena and Bray Wyatt.
Could happen.
Oh boy!
What match goes on last WrestleMania this year? Entry? Do you think it'll be the title match, or the streak, or something else? I don't know.
I'd say it have to be the title match. That's how they always end the show, is with the title.
But I don't think Bray Wyatt and Cena could follow like Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, or if it's. Some other, you know, guy.
Well, did they say that Cena's going to have the belt and Bray Wyatt's going to go after him?
No, that's true. I guess maybe not.
Yeah. So it's like maybe Cena won't even have it. Maybe he'll still be on Randy Orton. Oh, boy. I think this year could top last year for being even worse.
Now, if Orton keeps the title, who do you want to see Orton face at WrestleMania?
Oh, jeez. Man, you're putting me on the spot here.
Daniel Bryan again?
Who could Orton face?
For like the 20th pay-per-view? Big Show?
Or that was the feud everybody was dying to see.
Mm-hmm. The Miz?
Let's go Gene Snitsky.
That'd be awesome.
I like that guy.
I'd like to see Jake the Snake come back.
Just beat the fuck out of Randy Orton.
Sure, why not?
Good times.
RKO versus DDT.
There you go.
How about Jake the Snake with the Wyatts? What if he's like the old man? He's just kind of sitting around talking free like a shit.
Well, it makes about as much sense as what they're doing now, so what the hell? Let's do it.
Alright. Well, thank you, Abuse of Power, good man, and I hope you abuse some power in 2014.
Always will. Have a good one, guys.
You too.
Thanks.
I like that guy. We met him, Intra, do you remember?
Yes, at the Days of the Dead in Indianapolis.
There you go. There you go.
You've got a very good memory. I can remember driving to Indianapolis, hanging out, and then coming home.
Yes, that's what happened. We went there, and then we went home.
You you were like, watch this corpse getting screwed movie. I was like, okay.
That was when you stopped hanging out with me. That was the last time you hung out with me, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, it's been a while.
You're like, I don't want to see about this boy.
Hey, I mean, I was going to come down to the fan fest, but then it's like, you got to go get yourself banned.
I'm not banned. I don't want to go somewhere where I'm not welcome.
Well, I understand that.
We're welcome to go.
But I was going. I'm not going if you're not going.
We can go make our own. What? Hey, there's people out there. Find a new wrestling convention for the In Your Head groups for us to go and get together at. That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably others out there.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
There's one in Charlotte that they did this year, and they're playing. So, we'll do that one. Anyway, we got Mike Bessler here on the line.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing pretty good. Join the news.
I'm really excited. I'm kind of proud of myself. I stuck with the show this long tonight. It's been a long, hard. It's been a long, hard slog.
What is that supposed to mean? I don't stick up on this guy.
No, it's been great as always, top notch.
Oh no. We've already been in the PWI. We don't need them anymore.
You know, my question about the blood sausage thing, I don't mean to sound weird, but I was if you guys ever read The Stranger by Camus, where a couple times he talks about them eating blood sausage, and I've always wondered what it's like, but
well,
I can't find
what?
It any butcher.
This is actually an interesting story, and it's going to be on the upcoming video. But my family, I don't know if you know this either, is originally from Pennsylvania.
I knew that.
On my mom's side. My grandmother's Pennsylvania Dutch, which is Pennsylvania Dutch is actually German, but Deutsch became Dutch. But anyway, Pennsylvania Dutch. And my family back there used to own a slaughterhouse. And they made their own blood sausage, blood pudding, Lebanon bologna, all kinds of stuff. But anyway, I've known how they made blood sausage for a long time. Blood pudding is when they kill the animal, they whip the blood while it's coming out, while it's still fresh. And they whip that up, it'll become coagulated into what they call blood pudding. It's black, and it's whipped blood. Then they take that, and they put that into an intestine to make blood sausage. And it's not particularly good, to be honest.
It was my family's trait. I think it blew.
Lebanon bologna is delicious, by the way. But yeah, I never had it back home, but this is my first time I've had it. I've heard about it for a long time. But it was blood sausage sliders. And it was like a blood sausage patty on a little bun with pickled cabbage, which I could really only taste the pickled cabbage. It was like very overpowering. So I don't know. I would give it another shot.
What's the consistency, though? Is the consistency comparable to any kind of meat? And is it like salty or is it bland?
Yeah, it was kind. It wasn't salty. It kind of has that. The thing was, it was really overpowered by the pickled
cabbage.
Yeah, so I couldn't really taste it on its own. I would like to revisit it and just have it on its own sometime. From what I could tell, it was almost like pulled pork.
Huh. I've always been interested, and I think you guys know my wife's Greek and her family. You know, they're usually great about introducing me to all kinds of like different kind of dishes that I never thought about before, but. Blood is something that they don't, Greek Orthodox, that they generally don't touch. So, I haven't, been able to find it anywhere around here otherwise. So, yeah, let me know. I'll keep a lookout, too. One of the guys in the chat room said that it's pretty easy to find up in the Chicago area. So, I usually go up there every so often for wrestling-related stuff.
Yeah, I was in Chicago not too long ago. Chicago's a cool place. Yeah, they have a lot of dogs and stuff there, so they probably do a blood sausage.
Wrestling-wise, I think I'm in the minority with the with the Headyverse, because I don't really have a terrible problem with the whole Daniel Bryan, Wade Bryant angle. I'm kind of, just waiting to see what they do with it. Because, I mean, there's ways that it could be okay, that they could make it okay, I think.
I just think...
But then again, I'm also the guy that likes R-Truth and wants to put a belt on him, so, what do I know? I've been told by some of your fans that I don't know what I'm talking about.
So where do you see where this could go that you would think it would be a plus?
Well, it's a long shot, and it's not my idea. I can't remember who it was, but it was in the Raw chat room for In Your Head the other night, where somebody said, this is kind of a possibility that they could lead some kind of anti-authority faction down the road. And I, Toast, who I'm actually calling in for to get his Royal Rumble number, he and I were talking about it after the show, I think the day after the show, and I said, what a great idea it would be if you had kind of a double turn where you had, where you had Daniel Bryan first turn heel with the heel faction and then turn the heel faction face to go up against the ultimate heel faction, the Authority. I think that would be kind of cool. Are they going to do that? Probably not, but I would like to see something like that.
I wouldn't, personally. I don't know. He's like, why would he at least... So he would be the leader instead of Bray Wyatt, or Bray Wyatt's still the leader?
I would think that he would take the place then at that point, that he would have the faction under his control. I mean, we're just kind of armchair booking here, but I mean, that's something that I would like to see. But it would still have Daniel Bryan at the forefront, ultimately.
It's going to make Daniel Bryan like a backwoods hillbilly.
Yeehaw.
Why would hillbillies be with Daniel Bryan?
I don't know, I would be surprised if his, and I'm just speaking as a fan here, I would be surprised if he could completely assimilate those characteristics into the character he is right now. And I do agree. I mean, that would really taint him if they went completely, if they went all in and he became kind of a hillbilly redneck. But I would think that you're probably at some level still going to see a little bit of who Daniel Bryan really is shine through during this time that he's with, this group. But
I don't think I don't think you need to do it. He's already so over with the crowd. I don't know why.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you that it was unnecessary. I'm just saying I could see how it could work. But WWE's done this kind of thing over time. The two that stand out in my mind is when they were going to make Cena part of Nexus and that went nowhere. They were going to make Punk, going way a little farther back, they were going to make Punk part of the who was the ECW stable, the new breed, and both of those never really went anywhere. So I mean, there's probably some other examples, but there's a history of them doing kind of a turn in this direction and then it not working out. When Punk became part of the new breed, he was still CM Punk, and that might not be a great example, but he still kept his main character, and I think ultimately didn't go ahead with that faction. But it's a stretch. It's a stretch. I admit that, and they didn't have to do it, but I'm not completely against it, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will see. We will see. Maybe Intra and I will be eating our words and saying,
mm-hmm.
Sweet. My gut reaction was I was not happy.
Yes, and you'll be eating your words, Mike Bessler.
I do have to get a number for Toast, though. He's going to be really upset with me if I forget that.
He's giving a number for Toast. The guy's like, I'm in a trap. I ain't got time to listen. I'm watching the TV.
He's watching TV. What is on this time of night that's really a compelling argument against calling in?
Commercials. It's like, I gotta buy myself this chopper.
The new wave oven infomercial's pretty good, yeah.
Tony Little's on here with the gazelle.
Like, I got time to be in the chat room, but I got time to listen. I don't know. What do you think? I think we should just give the number to Bessler.
Mm-hmm. Numbers are non-interchangeable, or how do you say that?
No, he's going to call on himself. That's what I... All right, Bessler, you've got number 23.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm still doing it for the man. I'm doing it for Toast. He's a huge, huge Batista fan. He messages me several times a day with how much he loves Batista and what mark he is for Batista.
Is he a big fan of that little sun tattoo around his navel?
that's one of his favorite attributes. Yeah, I've got a couple of texts right now about that very subject. So if I was calling it for Toast, I'd pick Batista because he's such a Batista mark. But for myself, I can't see Batista winning Royal Rumble. I think they're going to try to stick with one of the more conventional storylines. So 23, that's pretty high up in the mix. Has anybody picked Hogan yet?
No. The Hulkster.
Oh, crap. I mean, I'm thinking that if Hogan does come out, mm-hmm. that it's going to be pretty late in the game. And that there aren't going to be many people for him to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll pick Hogan as my kind of my dark horse. And Toast will go with Batista because he's a huge Batista fan. Did I mention that already? He's going to be really upset with me.
That he's a huge Batista fan?
Yeah.
Oh,
did I
man.
Mention that? There should probably be a post on the IYH Facebook page, you know, just to kind of mark that as being the absolute undisputed truth.
Or we can just name the show Toast is a huge Batista fan.
You know, President Clinton has gone on and on about Hogan coming back at Royal Rumble, and I was really skeptical at first, and the closer it gets, the more I think, A, that's possible, and B, I'd kind of like to see that. And just to see what it's like, he made the point to somebody recently that it would be probably the biggest pop in recent wrestling history, if not ever. I think Hogan as a surprise entrant into Royal Rumble would be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. He'd hear the music. He'd be like, oh, yeah! When it comes crashing down and it hurts the sound. You gotta be a man with a hell. I can't remember the lyrics too well. But that would be sweet. Do you think you'd come out to that or All American or a Real American, or would he come out to like a Voodoo Child?
Oh, God. He would have to come out to... I mean, because everybody would know... I don't know that people would get it. It's just universal that he'd come out to a Real American.
I mean,
in all honesty, I mean, if we're really talking about this, 23's pretty high up, but I don't even know if he could go that long with, what, seven other guys ahead of him? Is it six or seven? I'd have to think about that for a minute, but still, that's a lot. I mean, he'd probably have to come in at, like, 30 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. That'd be sweet.
Because I think I read somewhere where Jimmy Hart was saying that he'd been in a ring and he was looking really good. But I mean, that's so relative at this point. You know, what does looking good really mean? So I don't know. It's still something that I would like to see. So I'll go with that.
Excellent. All right, Bessler, thank you for calling in. You're a good man.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk to you very soon.
All right, guys, take care.
2014.
Same to you. See ya.
Take her easy.
All right. That's the last caller. So you guys want to call in, it's
508-603
or Skype jacking off. We're probably wrapping it up here pretty soon.
Yep. I saw Hogan on like some like Fox Sports show or something. I don't think it was Fox Sports. It was like really high up there. He was talking about having like a like some sort of server, like he runs like a server network or something like that, where he gives out URLs and stuff. It's strange.
Hello.
Of all businesses he could get into, you wouldn't think that would be one of them.
Some girl here on the Facebook page wanting to wrestle me in baked beans.
Why do you get all the good Facebook messages?
It's right here on the page.
I'm totally down for wrestling and baked beans.
Mm-hmm. It's good times.
Baked beans are good.
I agree. That you got to have some brown sugar and bacon in there. But it's good times.
Little mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise and baked beans?
No, I'm just kidding.
That's how they make them there?
Nah. Although there are some strange combinations, you never know.
For now.
Try that.
Try that.
Nah, are we curious?
Got Urius on the line.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing tonight?
We're doing pretty good. How are you, my man?
Doing most well.
Excellent.
What is on your mind in the world of wrestling?
On my mind...
What were you about to say?
So on Monday Night Raw, did you see the big win? The biggest win of the entire year that to close off 2013?
Man is the hugest fan of... I forget her name. What's her name?
Oksana.
Oksana? Yeah. Yeah, I think she had a big win and a new finisher, and people, the crowd popped, the music played. I mean, it was big.
I was glad to hear her music for once. It was like, holy shit, that's her music.
It was amazing. I marked out. It was the first time I had seen her win in 2-3 years. I don't know. I mean, how long has it been she's been on? She's been in WWE. She hasn't won once, I don't think. So it was incredible.
Mm-hmm. Did you pop?
Oh, I popped. I marked out. It was like when it was like Matt Stryker, you know, when Booker T came out. It was crazy.
Exactly. Now, I thought you were from like Russia or something.
No, I'm not from Russia, man. That's not true. You were just saying you're from Pennsylvania. I'm from Pennsylvania, so there you go. We're from the same area.
Why don't you get this guy to get me a bride?
Live in Hungary or something?
No, I lived in Lithuania for a while, where Oksana's from. I'm Lithuanian American, so I was over there living there for like a year. So I'm a big fan of Oksana, you know.
I got you.
But that's not really important. That's bullshit. about the Rumble, I'm going to the Rumble. So, What do you think? I'm gonna ask you guys. What legends do you think are going to come out this year? And I don't mean like the. Yeah, you know, like the New Age Outlaws and that shit. Like, they come every year. Like, someone different, someone a little new, you know? Who do you think's going to come out?
I think you're going to see... I'd like to see Tugboat.
Mm-hmm. That'd be good.
That's Tugboat. Typhoon I was never crazy about. I'd like to see him come out as Tugboat. That'd be awesome.
Here's what I'd like to see. Bill Goldberg. I'd like to see him come out. That'd be cool.
Yeah, Goldberg.
Have him take out Ryback. Have Ryback in the ring. There you go. You got your feud
set up. Who would give a shit? Ryback has lost, like, for 2 years.
Yeah, but they keep chanting Ryback. They keep chanting Goldberg at him.
Why don't they have the guy win? If they really do want to bring in Goldberg, because apparently they've asked him to, why don't they build this guy up? Because why would you... Who cares about him facing some guy who's just a jobber?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I mean... I really loved when he would come out and say I hate bullies. And when he would bully people, I thought that was finally starting to go somewhere. It was finally starting to get some traction as a character.
A lot of people,
and they just took it away.
But I like Ryback. I think some people are just like totally against it, especially Alvarez and Meltzer. They like to say he's like the worst talker it's ever been. I actually like his promos. I like that they're just these weird and he's kind of goofy. I dig him. He's not goofy where you don't take him seriously. And I like him in the ring. I just like a guy who just does a bunch of power moves. I like the guy. And he does have charisma.
I think he fills a role that they need, you know? And because guys like Batista aren't going to be there full time, so they need a Ryback type. And then when they have one, the crowd's over, they just bury him, make him look like a bitch, and they just...
He was super over at one point in time.
Oh, Ryback rules, all that bullshit, you know? And then they turn him heel, and then just terrible. They have him lose multiple times to Punk, which I guess you had to do to get him, you know, the Punk storyline with The Rock, but still, it was just bad timing for him, you know.
Well, you didn't have to even have him in the match. It's not, you know, that's the thing about wrestling. It's not real, so you don't have to put these guys together. If, like, well, we don't want to have Ryback lose because he's got all this momentum, let's just not do this right now. Or I really think they should have just had him win. I don't think it really would have hurt anything with The Rock down the line. The Punk's already established. if they wanted the belt to be back on Punk. You might have resulted in your next huge superstar. And if he did get over, why not just do Ryback and Rock?
Yeah, you know, you could do that, absolutely. If Ryback, you could have built him up to that established star. Mm-hmm. But now he's just a bald guy who doesn't do much.
Let's see.
But what about...
Oh, okay, go on. No, I'll get your
number. Yeah, you know, I just had that one about the Royal Rumble. You know, I think the one person who everyone would love to see come out, if the music hit, and then you just hear that spitting sound, and it's Carlito comes out, I think that would be the biggest thing for me. When I'm at the Rumble, if I see that, that's pretty big.
I think he probably would get a pop where he's been gone for so long. So it'd be cool to see Carlito come out. You know, I think Carlito, though, his brother, he's stuck in this whole gimmick under a mask where he's a manador. And it's like, he probably made the right decision. Because he had a couple of interviews where he talked about getting so upset because they wouldn't use him right. And I'm pretty sure they still wouldn't be using him right. So.
Nah. They just got no place for him. But Carlito, at least he's in great shape now. That's why I want to see him come back and just another run. But, and of course, they're not going to use him right. They're not going to use anyone right. Look what they're doing with Daniel Bryan with the Wyatt thing. Right when he's hot, you know, like Jack, you were saying before, right when he's at his hottest, they just take him and put him into something that's going to derail him. I kind of like the idea of Daniel Bryan and the Wyatts. I thought that's what should have happened in the beginning when before any of this world championship stuff. But now it's too late. And they're going to ruin, seems like they're just going to ruin his character.
Yeah, it's good. He's so over, then it's like, well, let's try to get the fans not to like him. Like, why? Someone that the fans like? Go with that.
It's crazy. It's there's no logic in what they do sometimes. It's almost, you know, it's amazing that TNA, you know, is afloat when you compare it to WWE. Because WWE, it seems like the same crazy decision-making takes place with wrestlers. It's just... They just seem to make money. People just keep showing up.
It's already big, but I honestly don't think it's any better.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's equal. It's just TNA's easy to take pot shots at because it's on that lower level, you know?
Yeah, it's in, you know, it's in these small arenas and doesn't get a lot of people watching it, but the actual writing and stuff isn't any better.
They did do that storyline where the talent left with their belt correctly. He just left with the belt, and apparently he just left.
Yeah, that was great. Like, the execution was flawless. It was...
Apparently, they just couldn't work out a contract. And now he's just really gone.
Yeah. And then they let the founder of the company go. That was good, too. It was... I don't know if it's a work. It has to be, because it's too much.
It's hard to believe that they would actually just let him go when they're stuck in the storyline. It's like, man... How is that even possible?
And Hulk Hogan, the begging, DC Carter begging him. I mean, it's. I think Vince McMahon might own TNA, and he's just doing this to entertain himself, like showing people, like, hey, look at what bad wrestling looks like. Here's what it's going to be like. Like, we're going to make this company look terrible. We're going to make it look like it's just going to go under all the time, but it's not, because we're going to have it financed, and we're just going to have this perpetual in decline, you know, wrestling. And it's a shame because there's so much talent there, and there were so many bright spots, like Bobby Roode being champion, AJ Styles becoming champion. There's so many bright spots, and they just managed to ruin things. You know, I don't know how they do it. It's amazing.
Are you digging the Joseph Park storyline where they got him actually becoming the Abyss now?
Well. Yeah, I mean, it's about time. It seemed like there was no build-up for it. It just kind of came out of nowhere, though, so I don't know.
Yeah, it just kind of seems like they're just doing it just to be doing something, but...
Exactly. There's nothing at it, you know? Like, at TNA, if that was in WWE, even if it was the same exact situation, they would build it up with the overhyped promos and their million-dollar machine, billion-dollar machine, and they would just make it look so much better. Whereas in TNA, it's... You can easily see it again, and back to why people criticize it all the time, because you can see why you can see the flaws easier, you know. You see it in the Joseph Park storyline.
Yeah. Huh.
All right. Mr. Bressler. Urias. You have number 29.
Ooh. 20. Yes. Nice.
You could be bringing this home.
I'm thinking Carlito might come out in this one, or Hogan.
Carlito or Hogan. That I would like Carlito in the Rumble. I like Carlito.
I thought you might say Oksana.
I would like to see her get a push in 2014 and actually maybe get it like another win. That would be that's the first start. Like getting that second win and then after that go from there.
Yeah, push right off a cliff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Like I heard rumors that I heard this through the grapevine that Triple H liked her, and I don't know what that means, you know. So you know,
are you starting a rumor here?
No. I've heard this from like the dirt sheets and stuff, but I don't know if I believe that because she's been in there for years and she's just been a jobber, so Triple H can't like her that much, you know.
Well, hopefully it'll work out for her.
She is still there, so someone must like her at some level.
Yeah, or she's doing something.
Yeah,
or something like
that. That's why.
Oh, yeah.
See, we could start a wrestling promotion in here, and you could use your power to take advantage of the women.
I mean, let's get to it. I mean, what the hell?
I think that's why everyone gets into wrestling. I mean, not always women. Probably the gay guys in wrestling.
Oh, it's women.
This is like, I could get the belt, or I could use my power to take advantage of people.
That's why Terry Taylor has been it so long.
Mm-hmm. Maybe like somebody just had a crush on Vag Tattoo, and that's why they're just ruining Daniel Bryan's career.
Could be.
Yeah, they're like, he's marrying her? Well, I'll show him. You got like Harvey Whippleman or something in the back writing that storyline. He's like, it's the best, Triple H. He's like, why are you doing this, Harvey? He's like, because this is what's right for business. And he's like, I guess you're right. And then they put it on TV.
Sad thing is probably true, man. Knowing WWE, knowing the stories you hear in the shoots, you know, it's probably true.
All right. Thank you for calling in, Euro. You are a good man.
All right. Thanks.
You're an old man. I didn't mean to do that. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Peace.
See you soon. All right. Let's see here. We got 385 area code. Who are you?
Curtis Axel.
I'm pretty sure Curtis Axel wouldn't say his name like that.
This is Curtis.
My name is Curtis Axel. I'm going to win the Rumble.
All right, I know who this is. Mr. Curtis Axel, I haven't heard from you on In Your Head for a while.
Yeah, that's right, because I'm too perfect to be on it, you know.
You are indeed.
I'm a perfect screw up in WWE now.
I see pictures. It looks like you've joined Al-Qaeda recently.
That's right. I had to. You know, WWE doesn't pay me much anymore.
Al-Qaeda pays the big bucks. But the intro, this is the former Raven Effect.
Oh, my God.
I am Raven Effect. That's right.
Not the first Raven Effect, but the second one, I believe.
Okay.
That's right. The second one.
That's cool. It's good to hear from you, my man. It's been a while.
Get a call in. Oh, yeah.
So Curtis Axe, you know what? He has been improving the ring, but what do you think?
Hey, he's not going to get anywhere in WWE because they're pushing some new talent, but they're all they keep pushing old talent, too.
What was that again?
I'm sorry. They keep pushing old talent, too.
Well, who does?
WWE.
Yeah, so you like that?
Not really anymore because, like, they have all these, like, you know, young, fresh, hungry talent, you know?
Yeah, but not. I take an issue with that because just because you're young doesn't mean people want to see you. And if you're good enough, then you have to rise above and get them to push you because there has to be something about you where they can't not push you. So just because you can't... Well, who are the old guys you don't like being pushed? You don't like Brock Lesnar there? You don't like Batista or what?
I definitely don't like Batista there, you know?
I think they bring these guys in because there's a lack of guys that people really want to see, and they want to see Batista, so they bring him back.
But, like, you know he's only going to be there for, like, you know, a short period of time.
I'm not going to
make him, like,
that.
The...
Yeah.
they're going to make him like the big champion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be worse than when The Rock was WWE champion last year.
I don't mind that. That was part of wrestling when I was a kid. Like, old guys would come back for like a short, like Piper would come back every once in a while for a little run. I like that. I don't see why people have to come back and have giant runs, or they have. Why does it bother me if someone comes back and they're not working house shows? I don't care. If they're an established name, they're an older guy. They shouldn't. You work all these shows, and if they people want to see him, they come back and do a few shows. Cool, that's fun.
Right.
If Sting wants to come back and wants to come and do and build up to a feud, that's fine. I would like to see that. I'd rather see that than some of those guys. Some of those guys, if you see all the time, I think they wear out their welcome. But if you see him every once in a while, it's kind of fun. Like, ah, it's cool. Hulk Hogan comes out. All right.
Oh, geez.
That's Hulk Hogan. But if I saw him every week after week, like, oh my God, this old guy out here all the time, it's terrible. But if you see him every now and then, it's fun.
Then you know what they should do then?
What's that?
For instead of, like, you know, putting, like, Triple H or CM Punk or Undertaker in the main event, they should put, like, you know, they should do the feud between Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns as the main event, as the headline, as the major headliner for Mania.
What was that again? Sorry.
Oh, sorry, I have a cold.
That's okay.
They should, like, you know, put Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns for the main event at Mania.
Well, I think for WrestleMania, you have to think that people that might not always buy a wrestling show is going to buy it. So they might not know those names, so they might not buy it. But if they see, like, a Batista or somebody, or not even Batista, but whoever, Undertaker or whatever, they say, oh, you know what, I don't see him very often, I'm going to buy that. You know, people that don't watch every show. But the thing is, I think when you do that, then you want to also showcase these young guys, because then people who don't watch all the time and are watching to see the old guys that they know, then they see these young guys at the same time, and like, oh, wow, this guy's pretty good. Maybe I'll start watching it for him.
Right.
I don't think it's good to push all young guys or all old guys. I do think you have to mix it up a little bit.
Well, at least WWE's not doing what TNA's doing.
What's that?
They keep using the same stars over and over and over again.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think kind of WWE does, too, because it's kind of Cena and Orton's always the top guys all the time and Big Show.
Oh, yeah, but they got more stars than TNA does.
Well, they have more people because they have more money, but I'm really not big on either show at the moment. There are guys I like, but I don't think either show is, like, really blowing me away.
Well, what about Xavier Woods?
I liked him better as a Consequence of Creed.
Oh, geez.
Are you a fan?
Not when he was that.
Are you a fan of him now?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's cool. All right. Let me give you Royal Rumble number here, Robbie.
Sure.
All right. You got number 24.
Sweet, thanks, man.
Who do you want to come out at 24?
Who do you want to win the Rumble this year?
Let's see, I think
Curtis?
I think Seth Rollins.
I like, that would be good.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Good pick. Alright, we'll talk to you soon, Robbie. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, peace.
You're a good man.
Man, Jack, we've been running through the numbers tonight. How many you got left?
All right, we still have quite a few. We got 4, 7, 9, 11. We got 16 numbers, so we're not quite halfway through.
Ah, but almost that's quite a bit, you know, quite a... Yeah. Huh.
So if you guys want to call in, do it right now. Otherwise, we're going to save the rest of these numbers for the next show.
There you go.
But just to give a rundown here, number 5 is Shaheen. Number 9, Abuse of Power. 11, Santo. 12, Jujubee. 13, Jimmy Jam's Dad. 15, Jimmy Jam, 16, Bob Attacks Wrongness, 17, The Mighty Lexar, 18, Golgo, 19, Carol, 20, Austin, 23, Bessler / Toast, 24, Robbie Scar, and 29, Erias. So there's still a lot of numbers. A lot of the low numbers have not been taken yet, which, to be honest, usually wins the Rumble. Because they usually like to put a guy in low and have him go through a bunch of people, so it's impressive.
Never know who's going to win.
No, you never know. Never know. So
still a lot of good numbers.
Yes. All righty. So, Inchman, anything else to talk about, or you want to wrap it up?
Have you checked out TNA any recently, Jack?
I tried to watch the other, was it last week? And I got about 40 minutes in, and I just thought the show was just total shit, and I stopped watching.
Well, Magnus is the world champ there now, so.
You know, I like that? I like Magnus. I actually think he's got a lot of potential. He's a guy I always thought WWE could try to get. I think he's all around good. He's got a good look. He's a good wrestler. He talks well. He has some charisma. But at this point in time, I don't really buy him as your top guy. I haven't watched the show, so I don't know the build to the championship. But when I just tuned it in and I saw him, you know, talk as the main guy, I didn't really buy that. It's just like, this is your main guy.
Yeah.
This seems,
seems a little too soon. Your favorite, Jack, he is no longer with TNA Wrestling.
Who's that?
Chavo Guerrero.
Oh, my
Feast
God.
Feast or fired, he got the fired briefcase.
Oh, boy.
So what's Chavo going to do?
I don't know. Maybe he'll come back as Eddie's ghost or something.
Then you had Gunner. I believe he won like a heavyweight title shot, I think.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what he was the one who won. And he came out and he was talking to Dixie. I don't think it was this week. It might have been the week before. And he was like, "Dixie, I won a title shot." And she was just like, "Okay, whatever." It just kind of felt like they're just totally blowing the dude off. It was just like, "Yeah, whatever."
Uh-huh.
It was just kind of funny. It was just like, I've never seen, like, a challenge for the title just taken so nonchalantly. They're just like, yeah.
So, like, the, I don't know if they're even doing pay-per-views anymore, but that's going to be, like, the next pay-per-view is Gunner versus Magnus?
No, he said he wants to take him on the very first, like, show that he's back. Because Dixie said he wasn't around.
So I see.
He can't claim the briefcase just yet.
There's
some dissension between James Storm and him.
Yeah, I saw that. Didn't they just form a team and they're already...
They already hate each other.
Has Storm been in and broken up and feuded with? Like 50? Just like never-ending like story for Storm. And it's usually the other guy then goes for the title, even though he's more popular.
Yeah, I don't get it. They just love doing that storyline over and over and over.
Dixie, this is the first time I really sat and watched Dixie, during, well, it wasn't live, but while the show was on, just god-awful. God-awful. Delivery, character, just a very Bush League, acting is atrocious, and it's just like a cheap rip-off of like something I've seen in WWE countless times.
Can you find it like funny bad, or...
No, I just think it's very bad.
I do find it amusing that, like, every single thing that WWE does, she has to do. And it's just, my God, how could they do this? But they gotta have an application. Because WWE has the application.
You want to be the alternative, I think you should, try to be a little bit different. Not just be like the minor league version of WWE.
I mean, they take WWE storyline and they're like, we're going to do it right this time. And I guess if everything that's been reported is like the talent's actually gone from the company, I mean, that's just horrible. This is just like, it's just like somebody pelted like all 12 eggs right on her face. It's just like, man, you look bad. How do you have no shame? Why don't you just quit? All right.
And then there was, so Ass came, was on there. Miss Ass, whatever. What is her name?
Christy Emmy?
No, she's just known for having, like, a nice ass.
Oh, Tessmacher.
And she was, and I haven't watched her for a while, and Bully Ray has been my guy for a while, and now he's just like, he's like Raven in a hoodie.
He's
sitting down brooding, but he's got a hoodie on. It was it was terrible.
Well, the Aces and Eights has been disbanded, so.
So now he just sits around, like, now he's all emo?
I guess so, yeah. And they pipe in music now, too, when he was cutting his promo on her.
Yeah, that was bad. That's good.
Yeah, it's like, it would have been a good promo if they would have left the music out of it.
You can't score. The Tessmacher promo I thought was terrible.
Well, I like Bully Ray's part of it.
Just want to see her, and I mean, I'm sorry, but people want to see her. They don't want to hear her talk. He got this long, monotone, boring promo.
I'd love to see you give her coaching. You're just like, just go out there and shake the ass.
I think she knows that, to be honest. Have you ever, every picture she posts, every video is just her bent over showing her ass. It's her bent over, maybe looking over her shoulder, but it's always an ass shot. She knows what her calling card is.
I was put on this earth to show my ass.
Maybe they should do a gimmick like, when, you know, when the old comedian used to talk out of his ass there.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah. And she could, like, they could have someone in the, they could have, like, Ron Simmons in the back, like, voicing her ass. Damn! That'd be good.
Huh. Like, she's supposed to go around spreading her butt cheeks and, like,
yes! Yes! That, yes!
Why does her ass sound like Ron Simmons?
I just was thinking somebody with a good voice.
Yeah, he does have a good voice.
That might not be a turn on, though. Like, goes to Ron Simmons.
Like, you're banging her, and Ron Simmons all of a sudden says, "What the hell's going on here?"
Damn! But yes, I think that she should spread her butt cheeks. Yeah. That is what should happen.
Boy, we bring the class on this show.
All right, speaking, we got a Sandman on the line.
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Trying to get the mental picture of the butt cheeks and Ron Simmons out of my head right now.
Good luck with that.
One or the other is good, but together it is kind of bizarre.
Well, I think it could work.
See? Remember when they used to have someone do the voice for Kai and Tai?
Mm-hmm.
They'd come out and like they pretend to talk, but someone else was talking, so it was like dubbed, Japanese dubbing.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that Ron Simmons too?
I remember the dude saying "indeed," but
yeah,
I'm not sure if it was Ron Simmons or not. It might have been.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Sandman, what is on your mind in wrestling?
Well, trying to get the bad taste of Raw out of my mouth.
I know. He was the guy I was talking about. I was looking over on Facebook, entering the Sandman here. On Facebook, he's Vic. He had this the bit strip where he shot his TV saying, you know, Raw's done it for me. I'm shooting. This is before Raw came on, but he was totally right.
Uh-huh. Probably the worst, one of the worst things you'll ever see on Monday Night Raw happen. This week.
Well, we talked about this on Facebook. And we talked about that he was your most over guy in the company. And you go do something like this to him, and you still expect the fans to care about your product. I mean, why should you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or maybe they don't care about it. I'm through trying to figure the WWE out at this point. I mean, it's a guy against all odds, went out there, got himself over, and they did this to him.
You think if they could actually get, like, a boycott going where, like, people really didn't watch the program, do you think they would take it back?
No. I don't know if they care at this point.
Did you see John Cena was, like, trolling wrestling fans? He wrote he was wearing a shirt that said, "If Cena wins, we complain on the internet."
Yeah.
I try to find alternatives. I mean, Jeff, I'm thinking of driving up. There's an RH card up in Nashville Saturday night.
Cena always has that smug fate look on his face, like, man, I wish someone would just fucking punch him. Peace. But yeah, Ring of Honor, that'd be cool to go to. Have you ever been to a live Ring of Honor show?
No, I have not. But I've seen the tapes that Norm Rad, you know, run. He ran after SmackDown, and I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking if I can get everybody healthy going up there Saturday night. So
yeah, I've been watching the program recently, and they got some pretty good stuff going on Ring of Honor. But the last two episodes that they played, it was just like the last one was like the best of the year kind of deal thing, and the week before that, it was just like a whole like package on Adam Cole. I was just like, yeah, I don't really care about this Adam Cole guy, but I guess it kind of filled me in on some of the storyline aspects of what's going on. But shows before that, they were really good. Coleman and Alexander, they had some really good matches. It's good stuff.
Yeah, like I said, it can't be any worse than what you're seeing on TV right now.
Mm.
That's about what I feel about wrestling right now.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot.
It's hard to get excited that, like, I don't know.
Well,
it's
sad. Because, I mean, it used to be I made sure if I wasn't going to be there, set the DVR for Raw. I forgot it. Nah, who cares?
It really is just a total slap into the fans' face. It's just like, screw you guys. We're doing what we want. I mean, that's the way it feels like to me. It's just like, it doesn't matter that you're cheering this guy like crazy, and everybody wants to see him, you know, win a belt. We're just going to do what we want.
You know, it's like we were talking about it. Somebody was saying, gee, I wonder if Ric Flair, who's just starting out right now, would maybe putting him with the Wyatt. And, you know, I sit there and I wonder.
Probably.
I mean, what happens when you get people who aren't wrestling people trying to run a wrestling company? I mean, the people riding it is what I'm talking about.
I mean, WWE, I think they just get lucky with a lot of their stuff. I mean, you know, they were getting their asses handed to them back in the day with WCW. And then WCW, they kind of slacked off a bit, and then Austin came along, and that, you know, gave WWE a huge shot in the arm. And then they got, you know, even more lucky with The Rock. Nobody really saw that guy coming along, and then bam.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it, I mean, if you go back and you look at the things that really got people over, it was just a spontaneous thing.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, like, nobody planned Austin 316. Mm-hmm. He just went out there at King of the Ring to give that speech because there were so many people cheering him that night. And they tell him, go out there and say something that'll get them booing you. Well, the next night, there's all these Austin 316 signs at the tapings. And at least then they had the brains to go, oh, okay, that's gotten over with some of the people, so we're gonna go with that. But now you got Daniel Bryan instead of saying, ah, he's over, let's go with him. Let's find a way to bury this guy. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
The when you're talking about The Rock, they really tried to push The Rock as Rocky Maivia.
Yeah.
They saw the guy had a lot of talent and everything. But that was a failure. And then
basically started being himself, cutting promos.
Yeah, that got way over.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the stuff that gets over is stuff that these guys do on their own.
Yeah.
And with all the over-scripting of promos and everything scripted, like, you know, down to the T, it really takes away that aspect of wrestling and the chance of guys. And they always say this, like, oh, you know, guys will think out of the box and stuff, but they don't really have the environment to do that.
No. Nah. Well, not when you got somebody else writing all your lines.
Like I said, all the good stuff that's ever gotten over. I mean, look at the NWO. You know, Hulk Hogan was sitting there saying, this is the new world order of professional wrestling, which is just a throwaway line. And it just kind of took off on its own. And they had the brains to go with it. But the people running it right now, they don't have the brains to go with what spontaneously just happens.
Yeah, because they don't allow for anything spontaneous to happen.
Yeah, and I don't know how you fix that.
Just
other than just getting wrestling people in there to run the wrestling show.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I don't think it's been as bad, because now there's some wrestlers who actually use the word wrestling on WWE television, when that was kind of like an outlawed word, but there's still a lot of it still there, where they can't do a lot of what they want, and everything's written by the writers, but, jeez, bad times.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, anyways, anything else on your mind tonight?
No, that was about it.
Jack, can we give this man a number?
We can indeed. You've got number 25.
Ooh, that's a pretty good one.
I think that's good.
Yeah. I'd be happy with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's somebody, some surprise guy coming out at 25 and winning it all.
Who do you want?
The Sandman?
Yeah. I would take any member of the Shield.
That would be good.
Dean Ambrose?
I'm an Ambrose fan, but I think the one they're going with is the big dude. But I like all three of them, to be honest.
You know, you look at the Royal Rumble poster, and the Shield's not on it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the Shield would sneak in there and get a. And but I don't know. How is it set up now? Is the winner of the Rumble, are they the one that's going to get the shot at WrestleMania for the Unified Title now?
I believe that's still how they're doing it, because they made reference to it, I believe. Isn't it how that's going on, Jack?
What now?
That the person who wins the Rumble is going to get the shot at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but now it's for bigger prestige, because there's only one title, so it's not like you win and choose. You just go for the world title.
There'll be somebody against Cena or somebody against Orton.
Mm-hmm. Unless they, but I would think it would be one of those two, yeah.
Neither one of those really jazzes me up at all.
So could Bray Wyatt win the Royal Rumble? If that's
That'd be different.
Going. Yeah. They have, like, Daniel help him win or something. Then they can blast him off to space. It's a good storyline.
I'm thinking it could be a Bad News Barrett.
Bad News Barrett. Bad Mirage. My sky-high podium. It seems I have some bad news. Oh, that fucking guy. I took all that money I collected. It's like, who didn't see that coming? He's collecting money the entire show, and he's like, it wasn't for a charity, it was really for me. Go figure. Alrighty, Sandman, I think we're about ready to end this one. Call it a day. Take care, my man. I hope you're happy with your number.
Thank you for calling in. You're a good man, and I do want to thank you. Vic here, he does something very helpful all year long for In Your Head, and that is he does the recaps which are seen, and lately they've been seen all over the place. And it's all thanks to this man. It's a hard task to do. I used to do it myself. I used to do it for getting the ring before In Your Head. I did it for the first year or two of In Your Head. And I want to thank Vic for doing that. It really helps the show. It helps the site. It helps, the different websites picks up the recaps, and then it spreads. And all thanks to this man. It helps the show, and he does it because he likes the show. And I think that deserves a round of applause.
No, most definitely.
Well, the last one was really tough because that was the Dave Sullivan one. So that was...
Yeah, it was not long, but it was he had a hard time. And then his site, he did all his time trying to, make it clean, but yet showing what he said. And then one site just took away, like, all the asterisks and just basically posted, like,
yeah. ProWrestling.net did that.
Yes.
So they kind of changed his words?
Mm-hmm.
No, they didn't change the words. I had bleeped it out so that it would be sanitized if somebody would run it. And they went back. They put all the expletives back in, which they can do that. I mean, I guess people read that and it brings controversy, and which ultimately comes back to the show and maybe more people will listen, which is good. But I said, man, why did I waste time trying to sanitize this?
Yeah. Well, there might be in some sites that didn't want the profanity in it. So good job.
Oh yeah. A lot of them, they were deleted in different portions. But that last one, that surprised me a lot.
That would be odd. They just go back and they re-transcript it so they can have the curse words in it.
That's their site. They can do what they want.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
I think we live by that rule here. It's ours. We can do what we want with it. Hence the wrestling show where me and Jack just made wrestling noises the entire time.
That was amazing.
Alrighty. Alrighty, Jack.
Hey, well, you guys have a good evening.
You
too.
Too
now. Appreciate it.
Alright, it's man. Did you have a good time?
Had myself a good time. Love giving out the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Gave out quite a few. Mm-hmm. So we got about, 16?
Now we have 15. I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I'm a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life. Crashing down and it hurts inside.
Hello?
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. Well, Jack, it was a good idea, but you've been cutting out. I believe. Did I lose all connection with him? Where's he at? Oh, Skype has stopped working. Huh. Well, that could tell. That was some ending to the program. But, kids, keep your noses clean and stay out of trouble. Sorry about the screw-up, but that happens, I guess.
Hello, you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com. Chavo Guerrero Sr., Chavo Guerrero Classic. Call me whatever you want, but don't you miss this program.